This is the Quality News Network. The Bush administration and several Republican senators have reached an agreement on the interrogation and trials of suspected terrorists. The National Security Advisor met with GOP senators in public appearance since the start of the 34-day war with Israel. He said Hezbollah has 20,000 rockets and will not disarm, at least not until a stronger Lebanese government is in place. In Gaza City today, the Palestinian prime minister said he will not recognize Israel. Yesterday, the Palestinian president spoke at the United Nations and indicated a coalition government would recognize the Jewish state. Across the Middle East today, protests continued against Pope Benedict and comments they view as anti-Islamic. The Pope has invited Muslim representatives for talks to help defuse the anger. Turkey and Iran both immediately agreed to attend. At the United Nations today, Iraqi President Jalal Talabani told the General Assembly that there will be no discussion about withdrawing U.S. troops until the Iraqi forces can maintain security. He also stated that terrorist forces are using his country as a stepping stone for spreading violence. In Baghdad today, gunmen attacked Sunni mosques and homes, leaving four people dead. Police also report finding more than a dozen blindfolded and bound bodies. Last night, a U.S. soldier was killed in a roadside bombing. In southern Afghanistan today, 19 people were killed when militants ambushed their bush in Kandahar province. The ambush was followed by a roadside bomb explosion. The American death toll from the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan now matches the number of deaths in the 9/11 attacks, 2,973. In Germany, up to 23 people were killed today when a high-speed magnetic train crashed. At least 10 others were injured when the experimental train hit a maintenance vehicle on the elevated track. In New York, a three-day conference hosted by former President Bill Clinton has netted the Clinton Foundation $7.3 billion. $1 billion of that will be used to fund the new Green Fund, whose focus is to reduce global warming. The funds will also be assisting third world countries, including reducing poverty and disease. In a Virginia Beach ceremony, the U.S. Navy retired the F-14 Tomcat, one of the most recognizable warplanes in history and the star of the 1980s Top Gun movie. You're listening to QNN.
Most people would rather have a root canal than go to a dealer to buy a car. But you can turn dread into joy when you learn how to play the car buying game. Read the book, Right Car, Right Price, and you'll discover how the game is played and how you can win every time. Whether you're buying a car or a truck, new or used, Right Car, Right Price explains how to find and buy the vehicle best suited to your individual transportation needs. Auto Week called Right Car, Right Price the right stuff. So take the hassle out of car buying. Read Right Car, Right Price, and every time you get into your new car, you'll know you've got a great deal. Go online to rightcarrightprice.com to order your copy today. It only takes an hour to read Right Car, Right Price, and it just costs $10. We even pay the postage. So go to rightcarrightprice.com right now. It'll be one of the best decisions you ever make.
The United Egg Producers has agreed to drop its Animal Care certified logos on egg cartons after complaints that consumers were being misled into believing hens received a higher level of care. The industry will also pay $100,000 for attorney fees, consumer education, and other costs. HP chairwoman Patricia Dunn resigned today, effective immediately. She had announced earlier that she would step down on January 18th. In an investigation into stock option irregularities, Cablevision has disclosed that it granted options to an unnamed executive after he'd already died. The U.S. Attorney's Office in New York is investigating. Health officials are investigating two more deaths in the E. coli outbreak that has been linked to fresh spinach. So far, 157 people have been sickened in 23 U.S. states after eating the spinach, which came from California. Walmart is asking its suppliers to reduce the amount of packaging they use by 5%. The five-year plan, expected to start in 2008, saving Walmart nearly $3.5 billion. Light sweet crude settled at $60.55 a barrel today. At the close of Wall Street this week, the Dow down 25 points at 11,508. NASDAQ down 19 at 2219. S&P 500 down 3 at 1315. There's more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Barbara Lewis. It's now 5 minutes past the hour.
Head On is brought to you every night by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Union Carpenters and Millwrights, they're building the American dream. Free speech isn't free if you don't use it. So call Bob now at 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Now, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. Danged if it's not already Friday. But for once, I don't have to bemoan the end of a broadcast week, because we've got something special coming for you tomorrow. We will be live. I will be, Dr. Bill O'Brien will be, and God willing and the fever goes down, Bruce Birch will be live at the annual West Virginia State Democratic Party Jefferson Jackson Day dinner in Charleston, West Virginia. We will broadcast the entire affair live. All the speakers, including the keynote address by Barack Obama. All of this begins at 4 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time tomorrow, Saturday, the 23rd of September. I sincerely hope you will join us. It's about 7 minutes after the hour, and I have a request of the commercial soft drink industry. That request is this. Please, 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 if you're going to put caffeine in beverages that otherwise shouldn't have it ordinarily, and most of the industry doesn't include it, label it accordingly. Things like, Sunkissed Orange Pop has caffeine in it. Yeah, I know the rest of it's no good for kids either, but, you know, whatever. But the real surprise came today. I'm a root beer guy. And my lovely wife brought home some Barq's, B-A-R-Q apostrophe S, Barq's root beer. And I tore right into one as I was sitting at the console working, preparing the program, and my young son came in. And he's turned into a label reader like his old dad. He went, "Dad, put that down. You didn't drink all of that, did you?" I said, "Yeah." I said, "Why?" He said, "Dad, it's got caffeine." I said, "No, it doesn't. It's root beer." He said, "Dad, I'm 10. I can read." And he holds it up and he says, "Caffeine, it has a name." So you got to understand, caffeine does to me what meth does to other people. I'm a wreck. But we'll get through tonight. But I'm going about 15,000 times faster than I ordinarily ought to be. So if I start babbling, you'll know why. And poor Agnes feels terrible. Tell them how terrible you feel, dear.
Here, say it.
I feel so terrible. You have no idea how terrible I feel.
See? She really, really does. But that's not the purpose of tonight's program. That's just a little note for people who might be decaffeinated like me and not respond well to the stuff. No, I want to pick up tonight with where we left off last night. Now, you'll remember last night toward the end of the program, our friend David from Maine shared with us the script of an ad running in Maryland. It was sponsored by the National Black Republican Association, and my head is still spinning.
Dr. King was a real man.
You know he was a Republican.
Dr. King, a Republican?
Democrats passed those black codes and Jim Crow laws. Democrats started the Ku Klux Klan.
White hoods and sheep?
Democrats fought all civil rights legislation from the 1860s to the 1960s. Democrats released those vicious dolls and fire hoses on blacks.
Seriously?
And the Dixiecrats remained Democrats and vowed to vote for a yellow dog before a Republican. Republicans freed us from slavery and put our right to vote in the Constitution.
What?
Republicans started the NAACP, affirmative action, and the HBCUs.
Sounds like Democrats have bamboozled blacks.
Democrats blocked the minimum wage passed by Republicans, and over $200 billion have been spent on education, health care, and job training since President Bush took office.
So Democrats want to keep us poor while voting only Democrats.
Democrats want us to accept same-sex marriages, teen abortions without a parent's consent, and suing the Boy Scouts for saying God in their pledge.
See, we need to think and vote on our own values.
Exactly. Democrats have talked the talk, but the Republicans have walked the walk.
Girl, it's time for us to do the walk.
You know it, girl.
I know.
I have a dream.
And the Republican Party, those Rovian thugs, monsters hiding in their ghoulish natures behind the shroud of politics, are doing everything they can to turn Dr. King's dream into a nightmare. Did you get that? Martin Luther King Jr. was a Republican? Did I hear that right? How the hell would the National Black Republican Association even know? I mean, I'm not trying to be mean or anything, but when did Martin Luther King Jr. register to vote? He was a Southern man. What Southern state allowed Martin Luther King Jr. to register to vote? When? Where? Are they kidding? And it was the Democrats who turned the hoses and the dogs loose on us. You see what they're doing? You see? This is a wholesale rewrite on the history of the civil rights movement. Jesus! It wasn't, as it turns out, it wasn't whites keeping blacks down. Hell no! It was Democrats keeping Republicans down. Don't you understand? You'll pardon me if this gets me just a little bit, angry. But then again, this is what I'd expect from racists like, Karl Rove and George Bush. It's what I'd expect of the filthy, bigoted party of George Allen and Linseed Graham and Trent Lott and Orrin Hatch and Conrad Burns and Jeff Sessions and Tom DeLay and John Boehner. And that Medgar Evers, he was chairman of the County Republican Executive Committee. He sure was. That's why the Democrats killed him. And Emmett Till, those nasty Democrats in Mississippi killed him because he was a member of the Young Republicans. I wouldn't lie. Can you stand this? Does it make you ache in every nucleus of every cell in your body? Think about it, Tina. Those poor young people were buried in that dam in Mississippi because they were registering Republican voters. They were. What civil rights movement? Now, here's the skinny. These are facts. Those little girls that were blown to Jesus in the Baptist church in Birmingham, it's a fact. The ugly, hateful, bigoted white men who did that were Democrats. They were. But you know what? Their grandchildren and their great-grandchildren vote straight-ticket Republican today. In Georgia, Mississippi, Alabama, South Carolina, North Carolina, Florida, Tennessee, Arkansas, Kentucky, Louisiana, Texas, Oklahoma, Missouri. Straight-ticket Republicans. Why? You know why. Because every last bit of hateful, virulent racism that the Democratic Party had in it, it got lanced, and the foul, death-smelling pus drained straight into the Republican Party. And if you keep your mouth shut,
and you pay attention, and you move in the right circles, you can hear it to this day in the Old South.
I didn't leave the Democrat Party. The Democrat Party left me.
That's right, we did. We left the festering, hateful, racist, bilious hides on the steps of the Lincoln Memorial when Dr. King said, I have a dream.
I still have a dream.
Because we understood that dream was our dream. And our children's, and our grandchildren's. And that dream was dreamt when I was only a baby. It wasn't a black dream. It wasn't a white dream. It was the American dream. Dr. King knew that too. And that dream was the very hope of a future for this Union, this America.
I still have a dream.
Yes.
It is a dream deeply rooted in the American dream.
Yes.
I have a dream that one day, this nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal.
But the racists that we left became the bottom-feeding, nation-dividing harpies of the GOP. And they don't share that dream. To this day, they don't share that dream. You can see that truth in a bankruptcy code that punishes working families, black and white alike, but rewards crony capitalists like Don Blankenship and Wilbur Ross. You can see it in a judicial system that protects the wealth of a dead man like Ken Lay against the people that he ripped off. You can see it. You can smell it. In the oil slick stained waters along the Gulf and behind the barbed wire fences of FEMA compounds. You can see it in Republican ads that morph war heroes into Osama bin Laden. You can see it on the television in dummied up, ginned up docudramas that fake out a 5-year-old history of misery and death. But we left the racists. We sure did. We left. We left George Bush voting against the Civil Rights Act in 1964. We left Lester Maddox. We left George Wallace. We left Strom Thurmond. We left Bull Connor. We left Jesse Helms. We left Ronald Reagan. We left Trent Lott and George Allen and the Conservative Citizens Council. We left Jeff Sessions. We left Charlton Heston and Arnold Schwarzenegger. We left the Klan. We left the Aryan Nation. We left the White Brotherhood. We left poll taxes. We left night riders. We left the whites-only lunch counters and water fountains and restrooms and the separate but equal schools. We left Richard Nixon and his Southern strategy. We left the dynamite that blew up churches. We left the crosses blazing in the night. We left the cotton gin fans that dragged little beaten-to-death black children into the murky depths of the Pearl River. So, yeah. The Democratic Party did leave the racist South. And that's why the South votes Republican now. That's why the Republicans are trying to reinvent the poll tax in the form of so-called voter ID laws. That's why the Republicans push for school vouchers so they can be separate once again. That's why poor blacks and rural whites and illegal Latinos are fighting and dying in another stupid illegal war. Yeah, we left the racists. And that's the problem. We left them. Instead of driving him into the sea.
Wallace spent the rest of his life trying to explain away his racist past. And in 1982, he won his last term in office with over 90% of the black vote. Such is the duality of the Southern thing.
track record as a judge and his late life quest for redemption make a good argument for his being at worst no worse than most white men of his generation, north or south. But because of his blind ambition and his hunger for votes, he turned a blind eye to the suffering of black America, and he became a pawn in the fight against the civil rights cause. Fortunately for him, the devil is also a southerner. So this song's gonna take place in hell, told from the devil's point of view, as he does what any good southerner would do when company's coming. He brewed up some good sweet tea, and he whoops up some southern hospitality for the arrival of the new guest.
The Head On Radio Network is brought to you every night by the Carpenters and Millwrights. The Mid-Atlantic Regional Council of Carpenters is a portion of the United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Joiners of America, or more commonly called the Carpenters Union. The millwrights are a very specialized craft that perform their work with highly sensitive equipment and perform much of their work on machinery like turbines, laser alignment, and other highly specialized tools. We would like to thank the Carpenters and Millwrights for their support, because freedom of speech is free, and it's brought to you by the Carpenters and Millwrights, working hard every day to provide a brighter future. Thank you from the Head On Radio Network.
Recently on the Guy James Show on the Head On Radio Network.
If you have tuned into this program by mistake right now, and you are a Republican, a right-wing Republican specifically, before this program is over, I do want to warn you, you're going to think that I'm the devil. You're going to think I've got horns and a red cape because I hate the Bush administration and everything they stand for. So be ye warned right away, okay? You're all warned right now that that's where we're coming from today.
Don't miss Guy James, weekdays, 3 to 5 Eastern Time, on the Head On Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Rebecca Herbst. I play Elizabeth Weber on General Hospital. I want you to know about a wonderful nonprofit foundation called the Jesse Cause, saving the babies from Group B strep, also known as beta strep. It's named after little Jesse, who needed 3 brain surgeries, all because his mom was never given a simple test. Group beta strep is the leading infectious killer of newborns in the United States, yet most people have never even heard of it. Amazingly, 1/3 of all pregnant women have beta strep, and it's almost 90% preventable with common antibiotics. Tell your friends about beta strep, and if you're pregnant, ask your doctor to test you. Together, we can save the babies and put an end to this devastating yet preventable bacteria. For more information, call toll-free at 877-HALT-GBS. That's 877-HALT-GBS. Or log on to groupbstrep.com. That's groupbstrep.com. Jesse and I thank you.
Okay, I'm better. I heard that ad after being alerted to it by David last night. And honest to God, my eyes rolled back in my head. It wasn't 2006 anymore. I was having a Kurt Vonnegut moment, and I'd come unstuck in time. I don't want to use any hurtful terms, but who is the National Black Republican Association, and how many of them are there? I ask that mainly because they won't tell. But this is the, you know, this ad's running in Maryland, and as my good friend Eugene Feinerman noted, we were corresponding about this thing. Eugene said, you know, I think they ought to be playing it in Idaho and Texas and Alabama and Tennessee and Georgia. Let all those good white Republicans know what an outreach is going on in their party. Because, you know, they left those good white people left the Democratic Party and basically rebuilt the Republican Party along racist lines over inclusion of African Americans in the political process, in the body politic. They'd probably, if they found out that you know, about what the, I mean, it's bad enough they got the log closet Republicans, you know. They find out about this, they're liable to run off and, I don't know, become libertarians or something. They'd fit there, the racists. Well, I mean, they just go in and take over wherever they are, you understand it. Let's go to the phones, our friend David calling from Maine. David, welcome to the program.
It's deja vu.
All over again.
Yes, all over again. Before I begin, you were talking about root beer, and I have a root beer related story. One time, my mom said, I said, you know what? I'd like some root beer. And my mom was like, we're not going to buy it because it's too expensive. I was like, what do you mean? She's like, oh, we're just going to use our beer making equipment because my mom was really into beer making and wine making and all that kind of crap. So she was like, we're just going to make our beer making equipment and we'll make root beer. I was like, I don't know. That seems kind of
dicey,
different than beer. And she was like, don't worry about it. I think it'll taste just like you buy it at the store.
Did it?
No. It gets better. So.
Oh, okay. I'm ahead of the process.
So we pour it all in. We have all the bottles in. We're watching TV, and all of a sudden they just start exploding.
Bang!
Like, right.
Yeah.
Right. And you know, come to it, and then she expects me to lie to her, and I tried it, and I was like, it's really flat. She wasn't happy.
But did it taste like root beer?
No, it did. I mean, see, but that's the thing about. That's the thing about Italian mothers. They don't care. They'll be like, we'll make it. We'll make it. It'll be a lot better. You'll see. With everything. I'm like, Mom, do you know how much it cost you just to make this root beer? She's like, shut up.
You'll love it.
Yeah. So, yeah, when you were talking about the Republican thing, I only have this to say about it. You know, just expect... The thing that I keep telling people is expect the worst. I just read an article on Wayne Slater talking about Karl Rove,
mm-hmm.
and he wanted to make it clear about how fickle Karl is. He calls, believe it or not, Bob, but he calls the office, and he tells him, no, that didn't happen. Not in the book, when he got a galley version of the book,
mm-hmm.
no, that didn't happen. That didn't happen at all. That's not the way it went. I'll tell you how it really happened. That's how Karl Rove is like. He's not like hiding in the shadows. He calls.
No. Yeah, he's out there. He's in your face.
He calls the author, and he's like, listen, this is how it went. And it's not like he's mad or anything. He just wants to – he has a different reality in his mind than whatever the scenes that were played about
further,
his father's
further proof of, yeah, further proof of profound mental illness.
Right.
You know,
about
the
father's. And the fact that he calls up, first of all, is just, you know – That's bizarre. That's bizarre in itself. I don't know many people who just call up the author of the book that is defaming them or putting them in a negative light and be like, well, that's not what happened. This is what happened. I mean, that's how egomaniacal the guy is.
Well, and like I said, it's living proof of profound mental illness because the profoundly mentally ill can believe a separate reality.
You know, that reminds me of things that, you know, it's the charisma, and it's the and also it's the timing of how people can get away with things, like this McGreevy character. His boyfriend was in charge of Homeland Security, right?
Yeah.
And but listen, his boyfriend was in charge of Homeland Security, and nobody ever brings up on the news. It's like, but what you did was illegal. Who cares if you're gay?
Well, see, that's, you know, right. I don't care what goes on when the lights go off.
I know. I don't care either. But I'm like, you got away with this, and it looks so suspicious. And the fact that you bring, and the fact that he brings it out and goes everywhere and just says, I mean, just says it right in front of his family. I mean, it just looks so suspicious to me in terms of, and the fact that he's promoting his book everywhere. I was listening to a collage of what he was saying, and he said the I word more than like 50 times. I was like, it's your family, it's you, it's the people involved, not just you.
Me, 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 me.
Yeah, and speaking of I was kind of amused of Musharraf coming out on national TV and or national news saying what Armitage says, and I believe it.
Oh, I do too. It
I'll
makes perfectly
the Stone Age.
Yeah, but
they weren't expecting him to say anything. They wanted, you know what? They want him to be like the president in Afghanistan. Just wave and be like, hello.
Well, the only problem, you know, but that's the thing. Hamid Karzai is their guy. He's a former American oil executive. Really? Unocal.
Right.
He's
see, I have a theory. That's not really Karzai. That's Yakov Smirnoff. He's got a new job.
Well, there's a resemblance, and nobody's seen him in the same room together, have
that's
they?
That's what I'm saying. And he wears a funny hat, you know, kind of throws you off as a different distraction.
America, what a country!
Right, and he needs something new. So it's a good gig.
And he's right there next door to the $25 million Coca-Cola bottling plant, Afghanistan.
Right, and then the other.
But see, the thing was, Musharraf and Bush were together today.
Right.
And somebody asked George about it. I didn't say that. And Musharraf just sits there like a, you know, like a cigar store Indian. And they asked him, and he said, "I cannot comment. I have a book deal."
I think Musharraf is the karma that Bush never intended, because he looked like he didn't even see. He probably hasn't even read the book. He probably has no idea what's in it. And Musharraf's the smart one, just like using them for publicity.
Well, you see, Musharraf looks like this harmless little guy standing there.
Right.
But we got to remember, he stole power in Pakistan. He stole the government in Pakistan, just like George Bush stole the election in 2000. Okay? This is a guy who walked in and put a gun to the national leader's head and said, you know, time for you to go.
He did it with the military, and Bush did it with lawyers.
Yeah. Exactly. But they're both thieves.
Right.
But he's sitting there looking all innocent. He's not. And so, I mean, you know how the Bush family is. They deal in force. They act like a low rent mafia group. And they say things like, well, like what they said to Afghanistan, to the Taliban, to the mullahs there. We will give you a carpet of gold. You know, and they speak like this. We will give you a carpet of gold or a carpet of bombs. You must choose. They said that to Afghanistan. So, and remember when they were talking about bombing Afghanistan into the Stone Age, and Rumsfeld complained that there weren't any fun targets in Afghanistan?
Right.
So how unbelievable is it that they would pick up the phone, Richard Armitage, who is a devil and a killer and a murderer and a monster and should be in The Hague and should be on trial? How hard is it to believe that Richard Armitage would pick up the phone, call somebody in Pakistan and say, you know, we're going to bomb you into the Stone Age if you don't, you know, if you oppose us? You're going to go along with this, sunshine. Sure, it's believable. It's the offer you can't refuse. It's straight out of the script of The Godfather. And that's the script that these people are operating from.
What do you think they're going to do to Maliki since his PR with Ahmadinejad?
You know, he's going to wake up. He's going to wake up with a camel's head in his bed.
You know, speaking of stolen presidencies and leadership positions. I just had to say I read that article with Robert Kennedy.
Mm-hmm. The follow up.
The Rolling Stone. The Chris. That guy seems like an interesting character in the Diebold corporation.
Well,
I believe what he's saying, frankly.
I have no problem believing it. And you know, something that our friend Mark Levine pointed out, even if Robert Kennedy is not proven absolutely correct on the actual theft of the election in 2000, it is clear that there was an attempt to steal it. Okay, and that attempt is a crime too. In any criminal court in the United States, the attempt to do the crime is as criminal as the crime itself. Attempted murder? Murder. Attempted larceny? Larceny. Attempted rape? Rape. They're all crimes.
I have a feeling that Diebold is going to experience a whirlwind like Enron pretty soon. They keep up doing what they're doing. I don't know. Even the name Diebold.
Oh, I know. Isn't it just evil?
I mean, they are doing bold things, so.
Well, I hope they die that way.
I'm sure. I mean, everything to me seems like it's one big. They don't know where to stop. I'm sure there's people. You know, can you imagine what's like in that office right now?
Oh, you know, well, they're going down a steep hill and the brakes are out.
Right. That's what I'm saying. And they're saying, how much do we take this year? I don't know.
And the thing is, the people in the back seat are getting thrown in front of the car just to try to slow it down a little bit. Because I mean, they'll kill those around them.
I wonder how many related deaths that would be an interesting.
Well, you know, Colin Powell should avoid small aircraft for a while.
I still think that the whole situation with Diebold. I still don't get this. I mean, why is it the people let these machines in when they say they have no paper trails? I mean, it doesn't take a genius to figure anything out. You just say no paper trail. What are you talking about? Get out of here. That's me. That's
yeah, but
I
see,
read.
as long as those machines are in place, the election can be stolen. I mean, you get that. I get that. Paper trail, schmaper trail, because in the end, even if you're holding your little receipt that says, you know, I voted for a Democrat and two orders of Mugu Gaipan, you can't count it, because then even still, the legislation behind it says you have to do a recount of the computer ballots. Did you realize that?
It doesn't make any sense why anyone, and the fact what they said about Blackwell owning stock in Diebold, it's like, come on. I mean, if this was the Democrats in power, this would be like Watergate times 1,000.
Oh, we spent $70 million on a stained blue dress. The Republicans would spend $150 million on this. That's part of why we have to take all the majorities away from them, because they cannot be trusted with power.
You know what? Maybe Diebold is a shell company, and they're waiting for Hillary to run. And when Hillary does run, they're going to come out and be like, well, this election was stolen. All in Democratic counties.
Well, no, see, they're waiting for Sequoia for that one, because the Venezuelans...
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, the Venezuelans bought Sequoia a few months back.
Oh.
I don't want to vote on any of them. I don't want to vote on any corporation's voting machine. I want to take a little white piece of paper and a little pencil and mark an X in a box and drop it in a can with a slit in the top.
We don't do that here. We take a marker and we just put a line together like it's like preschool.
Oh, you have to draw from box A to point...
Yeah. If you can't do that, then, you know, you might as well just, like, get the drain out. I mean, seriously, not being cruel or anything, but come on. I mean, it's so easy. You just take the marker, and you just, it's not a straight line or anything. Just put it one to the other side. That's all you got to do.
Well, yeah, paper, the new technology. And, you know, there is a little piece of legislation that's laying around in Congress right now called the Let America Vote Act, calling for emergency paper ballots this November. And it's under consideration in several states right now.
I'd like to start CAVA, Can America Vote Act. No, I'm really asking.
No. Or PAVA, Please America Vote Act.
Please America Vote Act.
Because, again...
And put it on YouTube.
Yeah, sure, why not? Because, well, daggummit, David, you know, Republicans, actually, Democrats, anarcho-syndicalists, whatever, the fact of the matter is, we consider high turnout 60% of the registered voters.
Actually, you know, that should be a requirement, come to think of it. There should be cameras everywhere near those machines. They should have self-digital cameras in them. So when people come up to the machine, you see who's messing with it. Or that would be one way where I'd be comfortable with a Diebold machine if you have. But still, you'd have to give me the paper trail.
I mean, well, and on. Still you have to. Well, I have to be sure that it hasn't stayed in somebody's trunk overnight. And that some Republican operative didn't have a copy of the keys. I mean, there's that much insecurity in the whole process. David, we got to roll along, but good talking to you, man.
No problem, Bob.
Later.
Good night.
All right, have a great weekend.
Later.
Bye now. Have a great weekend, and tune in tomorrow evening. See, I keep forgetting. Onward to our good friend Susan in Columbia City, Oregon. Hey, Susan, welcome to the program. Thanks for calling. Hello?
Hi there.
Hey, there you are.
I'm rather pleased right now.
Oh, are you?
Oh, yeah. That ad just... I'm having trouble keeping myself from throwing things.
Stay away from the good china.
Yeah. I know you don't like to use hurtful words, but as far as the PAC Republicans and Condi and even Colin Powell,
mm-hmm.
I'll use it. It's Uncle Tom.
Yeah, that's kind of where, yeah. Yeah.
Because I figure I'm allowed to use it. I had, as a child, I spent some time in the segregated South. I saw those segregated facilities. I saw the whole nine yards.
Oh, yeah.
It was the lynching, thank you, God.
I grew up in a place where lunch counters shut down rather than serve black people.
Right. And that's what I thought. You had this whole empty lunch counter, and then you had this full one tiny, tiny space that was for blacks that have a line waiting for it. And these people.
Well, I mean... Well, yeah, the point is, and I mean, I didn't want to be historically dishonest. The Democratic Party did do a lot of those things, Susan, and we ran that filth out of the Democratic Party.
Exactly, and these people in the, you know, the black Republicans and so on and so forth had better watch their backs, because as soon as they're no longer useful, they're liable to find themselves getting towed behind a Chevy.
There's,
by the neck.
Yeah. Because, well, look, that's the history. That is the reputation. That is the earned truth that the Republican Party possesses.
Yeah, these people will revert to type, and the type ain't pleasant.
No, it's
these
not.
These people are not pleasant. They will revert to type as soon as these people are no longer useful.
Well, you know, Well, it's like that wonderful song by the Drive-By Truckers that mentions the duality of the Southern thing. It's a Southern phenomenon. In his speech before the Washington Monument, Dr. King talks about go back to Louisiana, go back to Mississippi,
mm-hmm.
go back to Georgia, go back to Alabama, and fight.
Yes.
And he wasn't necessarily telling just black people to do that, because there were a lot of there was a considerable number of white folks that were involved in it.
Idealistic white folks, a lot of idealistic white kids, some of which ended up in an earthen dam.
Right. Exactly. The fight is to those who want that America that can be. What America says it is, as opposed to what it behaves like.
Yeah, and it breaks my heart.
Well, see, the Michael Steele campaign in Maryland has said, "Oh, we disavow that ad campaign. We had nothing to do with it." But that's the same thing as when the lawyer walks up to the witness and says, "When did you stop beating your wife?" And the other lawyer jumps up and says, "I object," and he says, "I withdraw the question."
Yeah.
Well, the jury's already heard it.
Right. Maybe what the Democrats ought to do is take copies of that ad and start.
Well, I think
broadcasting them all over the South.
My friend Eugene Fierneman is absolutely correct. It ought to be played in Idaho.
Yeah. Oh, and I used to live in Idaho, and I got that's the birthplace of the order.
I know.
Woo!
Yeah, it needs to be played in Nevada. It needs to be played in Utah.
Yeah, and play it all around those places. And let these people know, hey, guys, this is what your party is doing, and see what they'll do.
They're coming for you.
Yeah. Oh, on an alternative note.
Yes.
I want to tell everybody, if they have not, you know, after Mr. Chavez's wonderful remarks at the UN, I was highly disappointed to hear Democrats, of all people, get up and jump all over Chavez for saying them.
I know.
Okay. If you go up on the Powers and Morrison site, Sarge's column addresses that.
Okay.
In style.
Good.
Oh, and mostly he takes on Nancy Pelosi because she's the Democratic leader.
Well, even you know what Flesh Flimball said about it.
Mm-hmm.
He said Charlie Rangel is jealous that Chavez said that about Bush instead of him. I mean, Lord, it makes my eyeballs ache.
Yeah. But, yeah, you know, for one thing, hey, I got to say this. Chavez was not on U.S. territory when he said that. The United Nations is not U.S. territory.
No, he was on U.S. soil, however, when he was in Harlem, and he said that George Bush was a drunken, coke-addled cowboy or something like that. But again,
he is a drunken, coke-addled cowboy. That's nothing but the bold truth.
Right. Now, all manner of ugly, filthy things have been said about him. Why is it that Hugo Chavez has to be bigger than Dear Leader? Dear Leader, Dick Cheney, Rummy, Condi, various and sundry cretins from inside the Republican Party and the Bush administration have called Hugo Chavez a thug, just like Nancy Pelosi did, a terrorist,
yeah,
a dictator, a brutal dictator. You know, and this guy was democratically elected.
Yeah.
In an internationally observed election that was said to, you know, hey, it's a clean election. It's every bit as good as what happened in Florida.
I got to tell you, if I could speak Spanish, I would be seriously looking into emigrating Venezuela.
I know. My Spanish is no good either. You know, we've got good friends who listen to this program from Costa Rica. And that place looks like paradise right now. It really does.
Yeah, and unfortunately, I can't speak Spanish, and I think at my age, I'm probably not going to learn very well either.
Well, you know, it's the immersion technique is what teaches best.
Plus, I also don't have any way to do it. when you're my income level, you don't go anywhere, you know.
I know.
I don't
have enough right now to get to the West Virginia state line, let alone the American border.
If it gets bad enough, I figure, okay, what we'll do is run for the Canadian border and cast ourselves on.
Well, now, see, you've got a chance of that.
Yeah, 2 hours.
The only thing is, you have to become a hockey fan, Susan. It ain't in me.
I can fake it. But I'm only willing to do that if things get really, really, really bad.
Well, I'm in a stay and fight mood.
Yeah, so am I. As far as the fighting, I think what it's going to take to get these people up and fighting against this war, and I hate to say this, because the media is not giving. I can remember the Vietnam War. What really primed the pump was watching that every night on your TV screen.
And that is why the Pentagon does such a wonderful job of message and image manipulation and management.
Okay.
They're never going to let that happen again.
Yeah. In that case, what it's going to take is another Kent State.
Well, that or, frankly, more people. There's another argument for wiring more people into the Internet, because you can actually see what's going on in Iraq as opposed to happy stories about, you know, and today the soldiers brought teddy bears to the little Iraqi children, you know, horse feathers.
Yeah, well, you don't count on those bills as far as I'm concerned.
No, they're garbage. I read them.
Yeah. Oh, talk about, yeah, it's another case of doublespeak. The title's found fine. Once you get into the bill, it's, aha, we get to play patty cake.
Well, the best thing that could happen is to put these bills off until after the November elections. Pray God we get a majority, and then go in, scuttle them, and start all over again.
Yeah, dump them. Because they're just, one of them has a term of 10 years before you can even bring the Koch bill has a period of 10 years before you can even register a protest for the carrier. That's how long their license runs. Now,
Jiminy Christmas.
Yeah. I read that. I go, wow.
Well, I looked at some of it, and I didn't see the 10-year provision, but my God, it's a mess from start to finish.
Yeah.
I like the idea of empowering communities to do it themselves with community funding. Why not let a little money flow? I mean, if the federal government is going to take money and pay to expand internet capacity, why not give grants to individual communities to wire individual counties?
Okay, I know you don't like, I know a lot of people think these people are the great thing, but the Microsoft Foundation has exactly that type of program.
I'm not surprised. No, I mean,
Bill Gates is happily shoveling money away to rural counties to hook them up to the internet. Contact Microsoft Foundation.
Not a bad idea. Not a bad idea at all, Susan. I hope you'll join us tomorrow evening, Susan.
I will if I can.
All right. Thank you so much. Have a wonderful weekend.
You too.
Bye now. And 7.5 minutes before the hour, let's roll on, go to Sarge. Hey, Sarge, down in southern Mississippi, how you doing?
Hey, how are you today, Bob?
I'm very well.
Well, you know, we're going to have to send some of this wellness to Mr. Bruce, you know. We got to get that boy well.
Yeah, I'd say he's feeling what we used to describe as puny.
Yeah, well, he's a little under the weather there, fella.
Yeah.
You know, you brought up something that I think is really, really needed to be talked about, and that is the influence the South has on the political dialogue, and it's probably more than it should be.
Well, from a population standpoint, it certainly is.
You know, of course, you don't know, you and I, we don't know anything about being a Southerner. We've never had any experience with it. You don't hear any Southern accent in my voice at all.
Right, right. Yeah. You trained that away in theater school, right?
Well, right. Yeah, yeah.
And Toastmasters.
Yeah. And I wouldn't lie either. But now you know, people have got to stop and realize one thing: the Southern people are heavily influenced by the Southern Baptist Convention.
Sure.
Which was set up strictly to keep the blacks out of the white churches.
Mm-hmm.
When I was a child, a teenager, we had a rumor that the black community was going to try and come to our church, the First Baptist Church of Columbia, and try to worship with us. And, of course, that was no way, you know. So that Sunday, all of a sudden, there was all kind of, and I'm going to put this in quotes, ushers, burly, large men that were there just in case these blacks wanted to infiltrate our worship service. And, of course, nothing happened, but the situation was such that it was just embarrassing. I don't get it. But it's, you know, the discrimination is still there. It's still there. But it's done in a different manner.
It's talked about quietly.
I'm sorry?
It's talked about more quietly.
Sure. And it's done in such a manner. See, that's why you got to get rid of the public education, because if you have public education, blacks can get educated, and we don't want that.
Yeah, that's why we need the vouchers.
That's right. And then you got these groups like the conservative, the Council of Conservative Citizens, or whatever the CCC stands for, which are nothing more than a bunch of racist
Klansmen in suits.
There you go. And the people don't know about them because they're doing it covertly. The Sons of the Confederate Veterans has been infiltrated by, and as you said the other day, our religions have been infiltrated by these people. And it's just growing and growing. I can see it in this area. I'd say the last time I saw such racism in this area was probably back in the 70s.
Well, it's not on the decrease. It's on the rise.
Yeah. It's ridiculous. I just, you know, and it makes me mad, but the only way we're going to do it is we're going to have to get active politically. We've got to stand up. If we see one of our congressmen, senators doing something that we don't approve of, don't be scared to pick up the phone, call them, and tell them. We have got to get politically active because the only way we're going to take this country back is to let our leaders know you're going to do the job or we're going to get rid of you.
Well, that's the commitment that we have to make to ourselves, Sarge, especially when it comes to getting rid of this Republican majority and putting a Democratic majority in its place. The minute that Democratic majority takes the House and takes the Senate, in either instance, a message has got to go out from America that we expect change. We expect different conduct. We expect specific legislation to be enacted. And if it is not, then, you know, we'll find somebody who will do the work that America needs to be done. Because we cannot be as nasty and complacent and compliant as the Republicans have been. We can't be out there justifying every rotten act by every, because there are rotten Democrats. Okay.
Well, you know, in my column today, I got on Nancy Pelosi, and it's not that I don't want her in office. Certainly, I'd rather have her than a Republican. But hey, she's not above being blasted just like anybody else. And when we start getting to the idea where we say, well, we got to go along with these Democrats because they are Democrats, and we got to support them. No. No, we can support them, but we've got to let them know, hey, we are not going to tolerate you giving in to these right-wing thugs. We are going to hold your feet to the fire, and we expect you to have a backbone, to stand up, and to speak the truth to power, because we are tired of letting these people run our nation, destroy who we are, what we believe in. It is time that you act like a leader.
That's precisely the point. You're absolutely right, Sarge. I appreciate hearing from you tonight, Sarge. We got to go to the news, but I tell you what, I hope you'll join us tomorrow night or tomorrow afternoon and tomorrow night for the live broadcast from Charleston. Maybe we can talk about some of these things some more.
Well, thank you a lot, Bruce, and keep up the good work, buddy.
That's fine. I'm Bob. Take it easy, Sarge. See, we got too many bills. We got too many B's. We got bills. We got Bob's, we got Bruce's.
But these are good.
And so, you know, I don't know. Maybe we need to rename Mark and Guy B names. And that way, you know, we'll just all be interchangeable. I like that. We'll be back after the news. This is the Head On Radio Network. If you're on hold, stay that way. We'll come to you after. We'll come to you. I promise. I'm Bob.
Quality News Network. Congressional Democrats are viewing a deal brokered between Republican senators and the White House about the treatment of detainees with some skepticism. One Democrat on the Homeland Security Committee calls the deal, quote, legal mumbo-jumbo to obscure the fact that the CIA will continue to be allowed to use torture. In Washington, a top Democrat on the House Education Committee says everyone involved in the $1 billion-a-year Reading First program should be fired. That follows the release of an internal audit that revealed serious problems, including widespread conflicts of interest and mismanagement. In northwestern Germany, up to 23 people were killed today when a high-speed magnetic train crashed. At least 10 others were injured when the experimental train hit a maintenance vehicle on the elevated track. In Beirut today, Hezbollah leader Sheikh Hassan Nasrallah appeared before a crowd of thousands. He thanked God for what he called a strategic victory over Israel and said Hezbollah will not disarm, at least not until a stronger Lebanese government is in place. In Gaza City today, the Palestinian Prime Minister said he will not recognize Israel. Yesterday, the Palestinian President spoke at the UN and indicated a coalition government would recognize the Jewish state. Across the Middle East today, protests continued against Pope Benedict because of comments he made that they view as anti-Islamic. The Pope has invited Muslim representatives for talks to help defuse the anger. Turkey and Iran both immediately agreed to attend. At the White House, President Bush and Pakistani President Pervez Musharraf held a joint news conference. Contrary to a report that will air on CBS on Sunday, the White House denies threatening Pakistan after the September 11th attacks. In Baghdad today, gunmen attacked Sunni mosques and homes, leaving 4 people dead. Police also report finding more than a dozen blindfolded and bound bodies. Last night, a U.S. soldier was killed in roadside bombing. In southern Afghanistan today, 19 people were killed when militants ambushed their bus in Kandahar province. The American death toll from the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan now matching the number of deaths in the 9/11 attacks, 2,973. You're listening to the Quality News Network. Science and business news is up next. It's just 2.5 minutes past the hour.
Divorce is never a pleasant experience, but it doesn't have to be a tragedy. If you can rein in the emotions, step back from the anger and victimhood, you can end your marriage with dignity instead of hostility. You married with the best of intentions. Now you need to untie the marital knot with the same mutual respect. Choose collaboration instead of confrontation. Stop wasting money on lawyers. Don't drag this out for 5 years. A collaborative divorce is better for the children, family, and friends. Collaboration costs a fraction of a contended divorce and can be done within weeks rather than the months or years. An award-winning documentary called Divorce Collaborative Style explains how you can end your marriage fairly and efficiently. For less than what a lawyer charges to answer one simple question, you can get all the answers from Divorce Collaborative Style. Go to collaborativedivorce.tv and order your DVD today. If it's over, end it right. collaborativedivorce.tv.
Hewlett-Packard Chairwoman Patricia Dunn has resigned, effective immediately. She'd announced earlier that she would step down on January 18th. Health officials investigating 2 more deaths in the E. coli outbreak linked to fresh spinach from California. The Clinton Foundation raised $7.3 billion during a 3-day conference in New York. The funds will be used to reduce global warming and third world aid. Target says it'll follow Walmart's lead in reducing the price of its generic drugs. Yesterday, Walmart announced it would sell a month's supply of generic drugs for $4. Nielsen Media Research says the average American home now has more television sets than people. Also in the average home, the TV is turned on for more than 8 hours a day. Play School, a unit of Hasbro, recalling 255,000 Team Talk and Tool Bench toys after the deaths of 2 small children who choked on pieces of that toy. Sony is cutting the price of its PlayStation 3 video game console by 20% in Japan. A new LA Times Bloomberg survey shows Americans are more optimistic about the economy. 54% now say the economy is doing well. Light sweet crude settling at $60.55 a barrel today. At the close of Wall Street this week, the Dow down 25 points at 11,508, NASDAQ down 19, the S&P 500 down 3. There's more at qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Barbara.
Parents.
It's your second hour in the liberal sandbox, and you're head on with Bob Kincaid.
We've made it all the way through to the second hour. It's like a little miracle. No, I kid. But let's go back to the phones. You know the number, 877-443-2366, 877-4 Head On. Email, by the way, is easy too. Comes right into bob@headonradio.com. Learn it, know it, use it. Let's go to Rick calling from Panama City, Florida. Hey, Rick, welcome aboard.
Hey, how about that back timing by Agnes, huh?
Isn't she something?
Oh, man, she's so tight these days, man, isn't she?
She's all over it.
Oh, yeah, it's fantastic.
I'm going to double her pay.
You should. You really should. And I'll invest in the stock, and, well, then she'll get $4. But she's good. She's good. Boy, she is. She's just wonderful. She's gone so far. Anyway, I just want to, you know.
And all that in less than a year.
I know. I know. It's amazing. I mean, she has an aptitude and an ear and a talent. I mean, she doesn't get enough credit. You should mention it more often. I mean, she is fantastic.
She's a genius.
All righty. All right.
I mean that. I mean, verifiable, tested, honest to God, you know, got the, you know, eligible to go out and get the little Mensa card. And, I mean, you know, real live, honest to God, Wile E. Coyote, super genius. You know,
but she married you, didn't she?
Yeah, that's the only thing that leaves it open to question.
I knew you'd be self-deficient. Well,
all right, boys, leave Agnes alone. I'm blushing.
I mean it, though. I mean it, Agnes. Thank you. 100%.
Thank you, honey.
Because I've been in radio, and I know.
Thank you very much.
Anyway, let me get off a little bit of topic of what I said I was going to talk about, Sarge. Now, Sarge, we did NOLA. We didn't do a hell of a good job of it, but we went down there, and we shot the people, and we talked to them, and we hope to be able to get down in the wintertime to have an interview with you on video and put up on YouTube and a few other websites that we can get it up. So I hope that we can get together and talk about that. And that's really important to me because you're a great voice for what's going on in Mississippi.
He is. He is indeed.
Yeah, man. Sorry.
I mean, I'll be honest. If it wasn't for Sarge, Rick, I would know very little or next to nothing about the recovery effort down there. And I, you know, the Bushes are involved, so I know it's got to be screwed up. But I wouldn't have any idea how desperately screwed up it is, even as we speak.
Well, yeah, it's just like Florida. I mean, people down in the South and other people that have been involved in all these different storms. I mean, there's blue tarps on roofs. There are. I mean, we even have down here in Panama City, we got this, like, it's not a local office anymore. They finally pulled out, but there's people from Ivan that you can still get a direct line to, but it doesn't do anything anymore.
Yeah, from 2 years ago.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, it got progressively worse. And then when this thing hit down here, we saw after the reappointment and a reapportionship of FEMA into Homeland Security, that how bad it could possibly get. And everybody's really affected by it. But, I mean, we do a little bit better down here because Jebby's got a direct, you know, pipeline to his brother.
Well, precisely.
Yeah. But it doesn't mean that everything goes smooth or well, like I just told you. I mean, it's just that he can get the things done that are visible, and then the invisible doesn't exactly get done, but we get the invisible done way faster than people that don't have a debt. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Okay. It's a little sleazy, but, you know.
If what you were talking about before with horses or camel's heads in the bed.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have done that. That was just wrong.
Well, it, but you were right. You were absolutely right. I mean, it's just the fact is, like you were saying before, and I always wanted to understand that saying. I used it, and I didn't exactly understand it, but I thought that I was using it contextually correct. And as it turns out, I was, but by hook or by crook. And you pointed out about the nose of the camel going under the tent and where its origins were. And the reason why it was a problem is because if you let the camel get his nose under the tent, he's going to tip over the whole tent.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's what happened with, when you turn around and hook a disaster organization into Homeland Security, and then in turn appoint the Arabian, was it the Italian Stallion or the Arabian Stallion?
No, that was the Italian Stallion is Franco Harris.
Oh, okay. Well, that, you know.
No, it was, Michael.
To do with Girl Scouts.
Well, yeah, see, Michael Brown. Sure.
Yes, Brownie.
With the Arabian Horse Association.
That guy. I just couldn't.
But see, one of the things, Rick, that is worth remembering is that it was under Bill Clinton. Okay, I know. He guy had oral sex, and so what? But it was under Bill Clinton that FEMA was elevated to a cabinet-level position.
That's right.
And, you know, so the director of FEMA got to sit in on everything, for all intents and purposes. And was in the loop for planning for national contingencies, which is his damn job, because FEMA began as an outgrowth of the Cold War.
Well, exactly, and they did have autonomy too, personal autonomy.
Right, but once it got taken down a peg, because you see, FEMA was seen as an opportunity to siphon money, you know, taxpayer dollars into the pockets of Bush cronies. So, you know, the minute Bush gets into office, FEMA stops being a cabinet level appointment. And in fact, one of the things that I listened to my fair share of liberal and even some conservative talk, and you never hear mentioned. I seem to be the only one who ever does. That, yeah, okay, Condi Rice thought it was a historical document when it was written in the present tense and said, Osama determined to attack inside U.S., okay? She said that was a historical document. That was something from the past. And we all know what a flaming failure, what a great, grossly negligent hunk of crap that whole decision was. But bear in mind, it's January 31st or thereabouts, or at least early February, when the Hart-Rudman report, which had been commissioned under the Clinton administration, was finally completed. It's 2001, late January, early February. Bush is barely in office. The Hart-Rudman report is presented to the Bush administration, and you can go and have a look at it. And it says, we are going to have something god-awful happen because the security in our airport sucks.
Well, I remember all these flights being canceled.
Well, do you remember where that report was sent?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do, and I remember it being deemed in the media, at least on cable network news, as monkey business.
Yeah, it was sent to FEMA.
Yeah, but do you remember how it was designated by Bill O'Reilly and others?
Yeah.
Some more monkey business, all the way back to Hart's little problem on his boat.
Right, because, well, but, you know, I know. Gary Hart had sex, and therefore
all the blood
drained out of his brain or something.
Yeah, everything afterwards. Is forget about it, null and void. And that's what they did with that. They turned around and just said, well, it comes from Gary Hart.
But it also came from Warren Rudman.
But it doesn't matter. Hart was involved, and that was the demonization that went across the tube, and everybody got away with it.
And that level of negligence and stupidity came straight downhill from the White House, Rick.
Mm-hmm.
And it was hustled off to FEMA and never heard from again.
That's right, the big black hole of the Bush administration.
Same warehouse where the Lost Ark was sitting burning through the box.
That's it, man, because this is a guy that will turn around and reclassify what you already know and then tell you you don't have the right to think or talk about it again.
Yeah, if you talk about that again, we'll have to kill you.
Yeah, well, screw him. I use it. I got all my stuff. But anyway, I wanted to talk about this latest thing that's going on. It's really making me mad. There's a political ad, a few of them actually going around, that are trying to compare the Democratic Party to the Dixiecrats. And there is a distinctive difference that everybody either does not know about, doesn't understand, or doesn't want to research. Okay, the Dixiecrat Party was the original Democrat Party. And you tell me if I'm wrong about this. They had members like Lester Maddox and Zell Miller.
George Wallace.
And George Wallace. And
Strom Thurmond. Jesse Helms.
That's right. And when the 60s revolution and all the anti-war and let's get all the black people the right to vote came along, they decided that the Dixiecrat Party, now they were the hard right wing of the Democratic Party, decided that they needed to go somewhere else. And the Democratic Party had open arms, or the Republican Party had open arms for them because they had already been infiltrated by racists and scumbags. okay?
Yeah.
It wasn't the party of Lincoln. It was the party of other Dixiecrats that would constantly moan and complain, but they were kept right where they belonged, where they always belonged, nowhere, ineffective, just moaning and groaning. Well, all of these Dixiecrats left the Democratic Party, and that includes Del Miller, okay? And they turned around and affiliated themselves with inside of the Republican Party. Now, old Del, Lester Maddox's little, what can I call him, a butt wipe?
Boy toy.
Governor. You know, we're talking about the guy that had the little, the Pickering restaurant that used the axe handles.
Lester Maddox.
Yeah, well, let's make sure. The guy that tried to reclaim his fame and actually did by eBaying out a bunch of axe handles with his initials or name on it. We're talking about that scumbag. That was who Del Miller was affiliated with.
Well, that's what I was talking about at the beginning of the program. You might have been a little late tuning in, Rick.
I was very late.
But yeah, the trying to suggest that the Republican Party of 1866 is the same as the Republican Party today, and that the Democratic Party of 1956 is the same as the Democratic Party today. You know, for all intents and purposes, the two parties swapped positions.
That's right, they did.
We purged out, and I don't mind using the word purge, we purged out the very worst of our party.
Except
look at what we got in return. We got Barbara Jordan. We got Ann Richards. We got black women, white women. We got
Bill Clinton.
Yeah, we got Bill. We got Bill Clinton. Yeah. White males. You know, there's still a place
Bill
in the Democratic.
Hillary Clinton is the end of the Democratic Party. That was the only point I was interjecting there. But go ahead.
I don't necessarily think so.
Well,
Bill Clinton formed the Democratic Leadership Council, the DLC, to court more so-called centrist Democrats.
And they've been destroying us ever since.
You're damn right. And I don't know. Maybe I live in a little bit of a bell jar or something, because I can't imagine being. I don't know what the hell a conservative Democrat is. Okay. Now, I was down in Alabama for 2 months, Rick.
A conservative Democrat is a guy that goes to dinner with Poppy Bush. That's what a conservative Democrat does. He goes to dinner with Poppy Bush. He gets called the new son by Barbara Bush, and he gets rewarded for turning around being the very best Republican president this country ever had. That's what a conservative Democrat does.
Well, you know, when I was down Alabama way during the primary season, I kept hearing, I'm a Democrat and I'll stand up for our Alabama conservative values. And for the life of me, I don't know, I don't know what those conservative values are. They seem to think that it's has something to do with going to church and hating how people have sex. That's the closest I can come to it, because it's we're going to preserve our families down here in the corner of the heart of the South. Blah, blah.
Well,
it's code, and it's just it's meaningless.
It's code. Those again. That's the Dixiecrat. That's the unspoken mainstream. It doesn't come out. They know they're Dixiecrats. They're standing up for an ideology that transcends Democrat and Republican. They're speaking and swearing in allegiance to racism, homophobia, and war for the sake of war, and God, Christ, and the flag as they defined those names for their own personal belief system, which has nothing to do with what they stand for. I mean, look at the 14 factors of what it is.
The 14 defining characteristics of fascism.
That exactly. It is all in there. These people have not been pre-programmed. They were just waiting for their moment to arrive. They've always been there. They just didn't belong.
Well, and some of them want to go backwards.
Oh, I'm sure they do. I'm sure they do. I mean, Ratzinger, for Pete's sakes, I heard Dr. Bill, a replay of Dr. Bill today, and there's a very fine, wonderful, kind gentleman, and very learned and everything like that. But I don't think he's aware that Ratzinger, before he was Pope, went around and issued an edict that told all Kerry voters, Catholic Kerry voters, that if they voted for Kerry,
they'd be ineligible for communion.
That's right. That's right. And so then this son of a bitch, Ratzinger,
okay,
comes out again. Excuse my French.
It's all right.
He comes out, and he turns around, and he starts poking a stick in the eye of the Muslims, just in time for George Bush. Okay? And just so that they'll turn around and say, oh, they're going to kill him, or they're going to do this, and then they all start going crazy because those people don't understand the game, man. They don't understand hardball. You don't understand
their play. You know, in the larger frame of things, why is it that the world can't understand that if you lived in the 5th century AD, you were probably pretty nearly a barbarian?
I don't know.
I mean, look.
I really don't.
Jesus couldn't write. Jesus didn't have toilets, okay? I mean, I'm not going to get any more graphic than that, but the same thing applies to all the, you know, Buddha.
I have a problem with the Victorian era, for Pete's sake. They were strange, but they claimed to be enlightened. And I suppose that, you know, between that dark place and then the Victorian era, where people all of a sudden show up with and they can sharpen a pencil, there's something to be said about that, but that didn't make them wonderful people. They were crazy.
Well, in for the most part, they were, and that's what creates so much of the tragedy in somebody like Mark Twain's writings.
Exactly.
It's what you get in William Dean Howells' writings. It's what you get in Henry James. This attempt to examine the culture that they were in, that they were utterly baffled and bamboozled by.
That's right. And then you get heretics like your friend Highline. Well, I mean, I
my friend?
Yeah, your friend Highline. Where, I mean, one of my favorite books in the whole world is Stranger in a Strange Land.
Yeah,
I'm a water buddy for Pete's sake.
Yeah, I just got done rereading it.
Well, I read it like 10, 15 years ago. And a guy, you know, it was a friend of mine that I worked with, turned me on to it. He said, "You remind me of this guy. Did you read this book?" And I was so glad that he offered it to me to read, because, I mean, and sure, you're right. I mean, if you want to get past as a front, you know, and ordering her on to women and a few problems like that. But if you get inside that pool and get to become a water buddy, and then, but you know, I don't subscribe to that idea, you know, that I'm God.
I do.
Well, I don't. I mean, I'm still a Christian.
I mean, I believe that the divine spark exists in every human being.
Because that's
what we're told.
Well, I mean, divine spark, of course, is a divine spark. But I don't want to get up messed up in the metaphysical. All I'm saying is, in the context of that conversation, I prefer to be submissive to God and pray through Christ and be a Christian, and I'm happy with that. And I don't need a freak to tell me that I'm no good because I'm not, you know, a part of their super church or their order.
You're going to burn. You're not coming. You're not coming every Sunday. You're not coming on Wednesday night. Don't you know we have a lovely dinner on Wednesday night, Rick? You need to be there Wednesday night. You need to be there Sunday night.
Yeah,
you need to be there Sunday morning, too. And, you know, don't miss the revivals.
Yeah, and also let's have that men's meeting where they can get in your pants, too.
Ah!
I mean, but I don't get mixed up in all that kind of stuff because I don't care, because I have faith and I believe, and I just believe God's going to work it all out. You know what I tell my kids? That's God's business. You know, pray, ask for some help, and have faith.
It's kind of like the preacher that takes the church offering every Sunday afternoon, walks out in front of the church, puts all the money in a big hat, throws it up in the air, and says God can keep God takes what goes up in the air that he wants, and the rest falls back to earth to me.
Yeah, but in my case, what I would say is whatever falls back to earth is God. Yeah, I'm that much of a realist, you know. But anyway, I just wanted to point that out about that because, you know, this whole thing about trying to compare the Democrats to the Dixiecrats and give the Republicans a way out about this really makes me angry, because people should know this. This is not ancient history.
I played the ad, Rick, and you can't listen to that and know it's anything except a pitiful attempt on the part of the Republican Party to cover up their, well, you know, they're basically trying to put pinstripes on their Klan uniforms.
Lipstick on their pig.
Yeah, exactly.
But the thing of it is that you'd be surprised how many people out there are falling for that. I mean, my daughter's husband, he'll lick that right up. He'll lick that right up. And here he is, a military man, and boy, he works hard.
But this comes from the same think tank or mindset or whatever, Rick, that sent those brochures to only two places in the United States, West Virginia and Arkansas, during the 2004 campaign that showed John Kerry putting a knife through the Bible.
Yeah.
You know, they are deliberately playing for a crowd that they think is ignorant and uninformed.
I know. I remember I got this big poster, and I still got it up on one of my, on Last Babylon. You guys can go through the archives to see it. It takes a little bit to download because it's big. It's big. I put it right up there in its glory. And it was a big old poster that, you know, cardboard thing that came in the mailbox that talked about how the world was going to end if the minimum wage went up. And it has a big photo of waves crashing up and hurricanes coming. You should see it. It's amazing.
AlasBabylon.com.
That's right. And it's just, you know, it was just amazing. What the world was going to end if you raised the minimum wage. And it was just so pathetic. Last thing I want to say is this, and I mean this from the heart, too. And as far as I'm concerned, by aid of the media, or by hook or by crook, or by our own doing, by not participating, whatever the reason is, the world has become a gigantic Truman Show, and everybody's in on it except us, the working guys, the working people, guys and gals. Everybody's in on this across the whole world.
Yeah, but
we're being scammed, and we're manipulated and herded, and we're like on this habitat trail that's running us and running us and running us. And if we don't get off that, man, I think someday they're going to put us all in a cage for real, and then just electrify the fence, and we don't get out. And we'll be quoting people from the Holocaust or what have you, and trying to figure out how we got there. But if we don't do something soon, if we don't find some way to unite across, all parties and all, faiths and all factions and races, if we don't figure that out soon.
Rick, I understand the sentiment of some of what you're saying, but you can forget right now about uniting with the Republican Party on anything.
Oh, no, I don't expect to reunite with the Republican Party. Just some of them good old, real old-fashioned conservatives that know they're getting their head banged in, that are listening to you right now, that can't call because they're so ashamed. You know, they're out there. You know that. They're listening. They don't know what to do. They don't know what to do, and they're afraid because all of their family have bought into it.
Well, they can't bring themselves to vote Democrat. They're horrified by what's happened to the Republican Party. I hate to say this, but those people... Rick, to be brutally honest, those people need to stay the hell home in November.
I believe you're right, and that was going to be my advice.
Just get out of the way. It's okay. We'll fix it. But you guys were part of the problem. You supported the rise of this religious right. We're going to have to get in and clean out the varmints. We're going to have to clean out the den of snakes.
Well, but don't be so self-righteous. Don't forget about the Reagan Democrats that started this.
Oh, no, I don't. I mean, that was the point at which the so-called Solid South broke down, and the Ronald Reagan is the ultimate success of the Nixonian Southern strategy.
Yeah, absolutely. And without the Reagan Democrats, no, we wouldn't be where we are.
Well, that's the crowd that says, I didn't leave the Democrat Party. The Democrat Party left me.
Yeah, well, it doesn't matter, but we bear responsibility for that. We do. We have to take our licks on that one, because they're the ones that made it possible. And somehow the Democratic Party had to have failed them, or maybe they just got all greedy. But
well, you know, when I think about Michael Dukakis and that photograph of him toddling around in that tank.
What was it?
And I think about him collapsing during the intense questioning of Bernard Shaw about whether or not he'd want capital punishment if his wife or daughter were raped.
Well, yeah, I mean, and then at the same time, I think about Jimmy Carter, a wonderful man, a wonderful good man, telling the truth and willing to bear all. And not even getting support from his own Democratic Party? That's disgusting.
Oh, I know. It's Will Rogers. It's Will Rogers,
yeah,
Rick. I do not belong to an organized political party.
That's right.
I am a Democrat.
That's right. But if we're going to poke it in the eye of these conservatives, these real conservatives that are listening right now that don't know what to do, we have to take responsibility for those errors because... You know, we're responsible for them.
Well, there's, I maintain, Rick, that the minute we take control of the House and the Senate, we build a big fire and put the bellows on it and jump on up and down on those bellows, I speak figuratively, of course, get it white hot and then hold every Democrat's feet up to it until they're yowling. And then we say, get running, go to work.
That's right. That's absolutely right. And I hope if it comes to that, I don't have a lot of high hopes, but if we do win at least the Congress, then that you'll make sure that that happens, and I'll make sure that that happens, and all the listeners will make sure that happens. The otherwise, we're again, we'll be the blame. It's just that when you got Pelosi coming out and, criticizing Chavez.
Yeah, why not just shut up about it, you know?
I mean, I can't even believe all she had to do is stay quiet. That's all she had to do. That's all she had to do. She was trying to
be proactive, Rick.
She
knew that the right way was going. Why didn't Nancy Pelosi criticize Hugo Chavez? So she comes out and does something stupid.
If there's one thing the Republicans are right about is that we appease the enemy, and they do constantly. They appease the Republicans.
Yeah. And that's the enemy, without a doubt.
All right,
Rick. You take it easy.
Thank you so much for letting me be on and giving me this time.
Oh, you're more than welcome. Anytime. Take care.
Good night to you all, listeners. Bye-bye.
Bye. So we're halfway done with tonight's Friday night edition of Head On. Like I said, though, not nearly as depressing as ordinary because we will be on the air tomorrow beginning at, I believe, 4 p.m. That's the press conference. And we'll bounce in and out back and forth, but we'll bring you all the proceedings of the West Virginia Democratic Party Jefferson Jackson Day dinner. Look forward to having you along for that. A couple of lines open, 877-443-2366, 877, the numeral 4, Head On. As Dear Leader says, bring them on. I'm Bob Kincaid.
You're listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm Jesse Russell.
As many as 8.3 million workers would lose their right to collective bargaining and their protections under the National Labor Relations Act.
That was Ross Eisenbray, Vice President and Policy Director of the Economic Policy Institute, discussing a trio of cases before the National Labor Relations Board that could strip millions of private sector workers of their right to form a union and their right to collectively bargain. Dubbed the Kentucky River cases, the expected NLRB ruling could broaden the definition of supervisor to include anyone who assigns work, including non-management. EPI conducted a report that found nearly every occupation and industry may be impacted, with the biggest hit being against registered nurses. As many as 800,000 RNs nationwide could lose their collective bargaining rights.
If you take that many people out of collective bargaining, the leverage that workers have to raise their wages is diminished.
Fred Feinstein, former general counsel of the National Labor Relations Board during the Clinton administration, said labor unions are especially concerned about the ruling because of the historical precedents set by the current NLRB. He says the board has restricted graduate teaching assistants and people in rehabilitation services from coverage, as well as pushing more people into the category of independent contractor.
Looking at those cases and looking at the current board as being largely responsible for those cases, there is a huge concern that this case, which could have far broader ramifications than the previous cases in terms of restricting coverage, will likewise be decided in a manner that restricts coverage.
A month-long strike at a New Jersey hospital came to an end earlier this month with nurses winning concessions from management. Nurses at the Robert Wood Johnson University Hospital in New Brunswick walked off the job after the facility attempted to impose stiff penalties for workers seeking care at other hospitals. In the strike's third week, a federal mediator brokered a deal. Only 100 of the 1,300 nurses represented by the United Steelworkers crossed the picket lines. Here is today's economic report. Drug testing in the workplace does have an impact, but it's less than previously projected. That's according to a new study from the University of California, Irvine, which found that after factors like zero-tolerance standards are ruled out, there is still a decrease in drug use at companies with testing, but it's about 25% less than previously thought in other surveys.
You've been listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Hi, this is Bruce Birch. Join me for a very special program on Friday, September the 15th. I'll have Mayor Rocky Anderson of Salt Lake City, Utah, and Sam Simpson, who is running in a congressional race in Florida's 10th District, starting at 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific, right here on the Head On Radio Network.
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got to go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Uh-huh.
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
Is in her Friday mood. The chicken dance? I haven't heard that since a wedding 10 years ago.
Thank you to ELO.
Thank you to ELO. Absolutely. The chicken dance, ELO? The chicken dance? The chicken dance. Dang. So it's 20 minutes before the hour, and let's go to the broad high plains of North Dakota and our friend Gunny Bob. Hey, Bob.
Hello, friend.
How you doing?
Oh, goodness. This has been a night, has it not?
So far, so good.
You brought in some friends and some enemies.
Well, no enemies.
No, well, yeah, exactly. You don't even know when you Bob, this is bad.
Bob, I can barely hear you, buddy.
Oh, hey, can you hear me now?
Yeah, that's better.
Oh, okay. I just stepped outside so I could get into that stream. You know, like the guy going down the street, can you hear me now?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. This is sadness I have. It's that deep, deep sadness. You know what a sadness is?
Why don't you define it?
Okay, I will define it. When your soul, the part that gets inside you, that piece of you that knows it's done wrong in the past and it can't, it cannot be defined, and then you realize that you are part of that past and it's time to put the past to rest. Because all I hear is what happened back then. Okay? Now, we have to look to the future. These children, these babies, these wonderful beings that we have before us, your children, Bob, I love them. I really do. Every one of them.
They're wonderful, wonderful children.
Yeah, but they are the future. And, hey, think about them. What is their future? If we do nothing, what is their future? If we do nothing, what is their future?
Well, it depends. It depends on your definition of doing nothing. In which particular avenue are you talking about the nothing?
If we do nothing against this Bush regime, if we do nothing against this stupidity that is being foisted on us, and I mean foisted on us by this right-wing religious fundamental Republican Congress. Okay?
Yeah.
If we do nothing other than say, well, we will take it over again in November, I don't think we will, because I really don't think that there is a liberal left in America. I don't think there is a liberal left in America. I think there is just a bunch of people that think they're liberal and don't know what liberal left means. We want to bring this thing back from the right-wing Congress that is controlled by the right-wing and the right-wing Democrat Party, okay? And we want to bring it back from the right.
Well, see, that's the thing. You know, the so-called moderates and centrists out there, I don't have a lot of use for them, Bob.
I don't either.
Because, basically, the center of the Democratic Party has been dragged so far to the right that it's like, well, it's like looking at an unused seesaw on a playground that's just tilted completely, you know, with the right part, you know, just laying on the ground. The center, there is no center right now.
Yeah, there is no center. It's,
I mean, to most of the world, I'm a loony lefty, and you can't get any more centrist than me.
Boy, good God, you know why I like you so much? Because you're more loony than I am. And you know what they told me in Okinawa in 1966?
What's that?
Don't go up on the hill with them red flags. There's people up there, live up there, they're coming, they're bad people. Don't go up there. But I did, because they told me, don't go there, okay? And I sat down with Okinawans that, you know, they were saying, hey, this Vietnam thing, hey, boy, you know, don't go there. And I didn't want to go, but they sent me anyway. I went there, okay? And I met people across this globe that said Vietnam was wrong, okay? And I've heard that tonight about the Vietnam Memorial thing. And I thought, oh, my God, I've heard that. I mean, 37 years ago, I met my dear wife, Brenda, and I married her, and she brought me back to sanity. But before that, I was a right-winger. I really was, Bob. I really was.
So you're a convert.
Yeah, I'm very much a convert, Bob. I told you that before. I've told you that many times before. I was a right-winger. I really was. I thought, hey, you know, this Jesus stuff, I believe said, I even had a blonde, blue-eyed Jesus picture in the middle of the hall as I was going to chapel. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I look at the picture. Yeah, oh, Jesus was a blonde-haired, blue-eyed guy. And, you know, Jesus could not have been a blonde-haired, blue-eyed guy. It's impossible. He was from the Middle East. I mean,
No, I mean, all the forensic anthropological work has been done, Bob. He was about 5 feet 2 inches tall. He was kind of stocky in build. He had a curly black beard and curly hair on the top of his head, and he was very dark skinned.
You saw the picture too, didn't you? You saw the picture too.
Sure.
I saw that picture. That is the absolute fact that if there was a Jesus, if there really was one, he didn't look anything like a blonde-haired, blue-eyed.
No, that's
right?
Apollo, okay? That's Apollo.
Yeah, okay. See, that's the game. And they keep foisting it on us. I mean, I keep saying the word foist, but it's got to push, okay? When you foist something on somebody, you push them to believe what you believe. And I tell my children, don't believe anything I say. Don't believe anything I do. Believe what you can prove. And I can't prove Jesus ever existed. I cannot do that. No one can, because they weren't there. Correct or not?
To be quite honest, the Gospels were written 50 years after he was crucified. The closest thing you've got are the letters of Paul.
No, 400 years.
No, Bob. The Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, their first written versions were between 50 and 75 years after the crucifixion. The earliest documents that you have that mention Yeshua are Josephus and the Saul of Tarsus, who became St. Paul. It's very interesting that if you, and I'm not talking about the policy that's contained in there, Bob, or the dogma or whatever, but the fact of the matter is, you can read everything that is included in the New Testament that Paul wrote, and you will never once, Bob, not once, find any mention of him being born of a virgin. Okay.
Okay. Correct.
No wise men, no shepherds, no star of the east, no running off to Egypt, none of that stuff. The only thing that matters for St. Paul is the crucifixion.
Okay. We're past that now, okay? Now let's talk about what's going on this day. Okay? This day. I mean, I've heard, I have missed my good friend Andy from the UK. And my...
Hey, it's Friday, isn't it? Yeah.
So I miss my dear, dear brother, Andrew, from New York City.
And New York State, yeah.
Brother, huh?
New York State.
Oh, New York State. Okay, well, I'm sorry. Andrew, forgive me. I'm sorry you're from...
I'm sure he will.
Yeah, forgive me, Andrew. I really do. But Andy and Andrew are brothers, as I am a brother of both of them. And kind of, I'm looking at something out here, and I'm thinking, this is the empty thing. Empty, empty, empty. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Because we always play to the negative side, okay? We're always looking at the negative. How about looking at some positive for a change?
I'm positive we're in a mess, Bob.
Well, I know we're in a mess, but hey, I've been in a mess before. I had people try to kill me, okay? And I got out of it. But I got out of it. One thing, Bob. One thing brought me back. That's the dear love of my Glenda. She brought me back. I played the game. I thought it was what I had to do. She showed me something else. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
There's a life out there outside yourself. And think outside yourself. And I tell my sons every day. I tell William every day. I tell him, I said, look outside the box. We're not in a box, Bob. You think that's the problem with the Democratic Party. It's that problem with everyone that's a liberal. You think inside the box. You think you got to do it their way. Now do it your own way.
Well, that's what I try to do every night, Bob.
And that's what I'm trying to tell you, my friend, my son.
I don't like boxes, okay?
No,
I'm very much anti-authoritarian.
No.
And as a consequence of that, I was fortunate. I had good teachers from first grade to the last day of my higher education. I had good teachers, and every last one of them, whether they meant to or not, encouraged me never to take anything as given.
And never think about look for what beyond what I'm telling you. Because, Bob, I don't know all the answers. I have no answers for your questions. All I got is questions for your answers, okay? And I will give you all you want to think about. But think about this. Where are we going in the future? What are we going to do with our future?
Oh, I think about that stuff all the time, Bob. I really, really, honest to God, do. And
why do you think I keep calling you?
It's not what happens next year. And I think that's what informs a lot of the way that I feel about things. It's not what happens next year. It's not what happens next week. It's the America, if it exists, of 20 years from now. It's the America of 50 years from now, of 100 years from now, that I'm worried about. Because, you see, right now, we are reaping, you know, well, okay, here's an example. The corporate structure in America. We're reaping the results of a footnote in a Supreme Court case from something like 1895. It's thinking about 100 years from now that we need to be doing a little bit more of. You know, the George Bush tax cuts are gonna, you know, we have no idea. You know, we've seen what's happened to the federal budget since the tax cuts went into effect, but we don't have the vision to look 6 years from now when it really gets ugly, Bob, because in 2012 the piper shows up on the doorstep and wants paid.
Wait a minute.
What?
Okay, wait a minute, okay? I know you're on a rant, okay? But what is my name? Please.
Bob, let's... No,
please, give me that. Give me that little thing.
Jesus, Gunny Bob, okay?
Okay, thank you very much. Now listen to me for a moment, okay? I know you're on a rant.
No, I'm not on a rant. I'm trying to talk about what informs our decisions about what we do now.
Okay. What do you do when things threaten your children? What do you do?
We either remove them from the threat or remove the threat from them.
Right. Okay. Now, we have things threatening our children right now. And I'll tell you what it is. We have an administration that doesn't believe our children are as good as they are. Okay. And we know our children are better than we are, okay? Now, let's stop just for a moment. All Americans, every person on this planet, stop for a moment and think, am I better than my child, or do I want my child to be better than me? And the only thing you can do to make your child be better than you is stop hating. Stop hating them, your neighbor. Stop hating the person next door to you. Love Andrew and Andy, and love every person out there. Love that guy down there that calls himself Panama Rick, and love him. And
lay off the other callers, Bob. Okay?
Huh? No, I'm just saying to them, I care about them, and I think of them as friends. I think of you as a friend, and I think of every human being on this. I'll lay off the other callers. No, I'm not laying off the other callers. I'm telling the other callers that I care about them. See, I'm not attacking them, Bob. You're saying that I'm attacking someone.
No, I'm not saying anything of the sort, Bob. I'm really not.
But I'm not attacking anyone. I'm saying if we stop hating or thinking of someone.
Well, see, that's one of the nice things about this program. It's a place that the hate can't reach.
I love that about you, Bob. You do not hate me. And, you know, even though sometimes I get a little out of reach, like, you know, I don't do everything like everybody wants me to do, well, you accept me, and I accept you, okay?
That's the way it's supposed to work, Bob.
Thank you.
hurt those that you do not accept and those that you do not think are worthy. And I don't want to be worthy. I just want to be accepted. I don't want to be better than you. I want to be a friend. I just want to be a friend. I don't want to be a enemy.
I want to live in a house by the side of the road and be a friend to man.
Yes.
My grandmother started quoting that poem to me when I was a tiny little boy, Bob.
See, I heard it too. And good God, son, I love you. I really do. And I love Agnes. And I love you so. I really do. I really do. You think I'm just a...
No, I don't. I sincerely don't. You are sincere.
Yes.
And you are evidence of the community that we are building, Bob.
That's what you're doing, and my good son. And I think it's just that. Yeah, I made a mistake with my dear Agnes. I called you Robin. No, that's Bob. My son is Robin.
Which is precisely so.
And I love her for it. Oh, she's a good woman. And you are a good man. And this is a good channel. And people, listen to this man. He makes good sense. And he is my, oh, goodness. I called you the prince before. Now you're my king.
I don't want to be anybody's king, Bob.
Oh, well, hey, you can be the king of truth. If you keep telling it, you can. Oh, hey, I'm the king.
I'm just Brother Bob in the Cathedral of Common Sense, Bob.
No, Bob.
Nah, but I got a role.
I'm Bob, you're Bob, and you are the king of truth. Because you do not lie, and you never have, not to me. You've told me some, hey, that's all tales. I told you a couple, too. But that doesn't make me a liar, right?
No, it doesn't. What it does make it, though, is time for us to go, Bob.
Sorry.
Have a good weekend, man.
I love you, boy. I love you, and I love you. Tell Agnes I love her, too.
She just heard you. We love to your entire family. We're out of here. All right, we got another hour of conversation radio ahead of us. And I got a stack of news to hit. Oh, by the way, today's a little anniversary. Did you know that? We'll talk about that coming out of the news. Bet you won't hear about it. Bet you won't. But, yeah, this is an anniversary of sorts. Remember Tax Freedom Day? This is something different. This is something worse. This is also the Head On Radio Network. And I'm Bob Kincaid.
News Network. President Bush says he's surprised by a claim made by Pakistani President Pervez Musharraf that Pakistan would be bombed back to the Stone Age if it didn't join the U.S. in the fight against terrorism. That's according to an interview airing Sunday on CBS. Mr. Bush says he's not aware of any such conversation. Next week, Mr. Bush is scheduled to meet with Afghan President Hamid Karzai to discuss relations between Afghanistan and Pakistan. Both countries accuse the other of not doing enough to curb terrorism. In Washington, details are emerging about a deal reached between Republican senators and the White House about terror suspects' interrogations and trials. The bill would allow President Bush to interpret the Geneva Convention standards to authorize techniques that international courts would deem illegal. In Germany today, at least 23 people were killed when an experimental high-speed magnetic train crashed. At least 10 others were injured when the train hit a maintenance vehicle on the elevated track. Initial reports indicate human error is to blame. In Beirut today, Hezbollah leader Sheikh Hassan Nasrallah made his first public appearance since the start of the 34-day war with Israel. He said the group will not disarm unless a stronger Lebanese government takes over. At the UN today, the Iraqi President Jalal Talabani told the General Assembly that there will be no discussion about a timetable for withdrawing U.S. troops until the Iraqi forces can maintain security. In Baghdad today, gunmen attacked Sunni mosques and homes, leaving 4 people dead. A dozen more blindfolded and bound bodies were discovered. A top U.S. general says 3,000 more Iraqi troops are needed to help secure the capital. In southern Afghanistan today, 19 people were killed when militants ambushed their bush in Kandahar province. U.S. Army officials say that because the demands of the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan have grown stronger, they may deploy National Guard troops for overseas duty. In Indonesia, a mob of Christians looted Muslim-owned stores and attacked a jail, releasing 200 prisoners, many of them still at large. The violence follows the executions of 3 Catholics who were found guilty of instigating attacks on Muslims. Forecasters say tornadoes could strike Missouri and Illinois, flash flooding likely for the Ohio Valley and Eastern Plains. You're listening to the Quality News Network. Science and News next.
In addition to producing and distributing the finest hourly newscasts in the country, the Quality News Network conducts interviews with 2006 candidates. We afford congressional and gubernatorial challengers of every political stripe the opportunity to illuminate their views and to demonstrate their character in a 20-minute network quality interview. We perform this public service to enable voters to get a better listen to the people they might consider electing to high office. Because as Thomas Jefferson said, if a nation expects to be ignorant and free in a state of civilization, it expects what never was and never will be. If you want to know more about who is running in the November elections, go to qualitynewsnetwork.com and click on 2006 candidates. If we are to get America back on track, we need to elect people who can lead us in the right direction. Now, back to the news.
The United Egg Producers has agreed to drop its animal care certified logos on egg cartons. That follows complaints that consumers were being misled into believing hens received a higher level of care. Target says it'll follow Walmart's lead in reducing the price of its generic drugs. Yesterday, the company announced it would sell a month's supply of generic drugs for $4. Walmart is asking its suppliers to reduce the amount of packaging they use by 5% starting in 2008. The 5-year plan expected to save nearly $3.5 billion. Health officials are investigating 2 more deaths in the E. coli outbreak that's been linked to spinach from California. So far, 157 people have been sickened. Starbucks raising the price of its coffee drinks by a nickel starting October 3rd, the first price hike in the U.S. and Canada in 2 years. In India, a ban on Coke and Pepsi was lifted today. A court decided the soft drinks do not include dangerously high levels of pesticides, as an environmental group had charged. Due to a mention by Venezuelan President Hugo Chavez during a speech earlier this week, a Noam Chomsky book has skyrocketed up the bestseller list at Amazon.com. Light sweet crude settled at $60.55 a barrel at the close of Wall Street this week. The Dow down 25 points at 11,508. NASDAQ down 19. S&P 500 down 3. And there's more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Barbara Lewis. It's now 5 minutes.
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins now. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Buck.
No, I said I would mention to you a little anniversary of note. This is something we need to learn about because this is something we should be making a little bit of noise. What the hell am I talking about? We should be making a bunch of noise about it. You know, another case of Republicans screwing old people. The Republican Congress breaks camp and goes home in about 6 days. 5 days. Okay? Now, they have spent months on a horse meat bill. Really. And they have ignored any kind of oversight on war profiteer. Well, you know the drill. I don't have to do the list. But do you know about the donut hole? I learned about the donut hole not too long back and just wanted to run my head into the side of the building. Honest to God. Just, yeah, how do, you know, because you sit there and how do they get away with this? The donut hole. It sounds tasty, doesn't it? You know, down to the grocery store, we buy bags of Krispy Kreme donut holes. And they're golden brown, and they're covered in a luscious sugar glaze, and they're just yummy with your decaf. That would be decaf. That would be they're not so good with Barks root beer. Okay, no, leave it alone. But that's not the donut hole we're talking about here. This has to do with Medicare Part D, the prescription drug benefit. You know, the one that they had to hold the voting session open on in the Republican Congress and arm twist and bribe and threaten in order to get passed. Yeah, that prescription drug benefit. You know, the prescription drug benefit that the Bush administration bean counter dude came to Congress and said, oh, this will cost $4 billion. Under oath, and he knew at the time that it was going to cost $6 or $8. Yeah, that prescription drug benefit. Yeah, the one where Congress has yet to bring perjury charges against anyone in the administration for, you know, coming in, sitting down, sticking their hand in the air, putting their hand on the Bible, I swear, and then lying. 7 million Americans are without prescription drug coverage today. Today. 7 million. Well, that's understandable. There's a lot of people in this country who don't have drug coverage. These are people who are already on Medicare Part D. Dig it. Yeah, they're on Medicare Part D, and they have no prescription drug coverage. And the donut hole is between $2,250 and $5,100 wide. Or in diameter. Or circumference. I'll leave that to the math majors. That's their annual drug cost, between $2,250 and $5,100. They go into the donut hole now, which means the entire cost of their drug coverage between now till they hit $5,100. You get it? From $2,250 to $5,100. Somebody do the math. That's more than $2,650. Is that it? $2,850. From now on until the new fiscal or the new anniversary date, people on Medicare prescription drug plan D have to pay every damn stinking penny of their drug cost. It's called the Little Friskies Prescription Drug Plan, and it's brought to you by the Republican Party of America. Well, you know, but guess what they also have to do, these donut hole people? They have to continue paying their premiums and receive nothing, nothing, not a scrap, not an iota, not a damn thing for it. Not a sausage, not an aspirin. But they have to continue paying or they will lose their coverage. Period. Dig it. The Republican Congress and the Republican at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue have ginned up and dummied up and squirreled up a plan by which old people have to continue to pay for drug coverage without getting any drugs in the process. Whew. Good work if you can get it. The drug companies don't have to do a damn thing, and they keep getting paid. Man, am I in the wrong business. That's the anniversary. David Madison,
is taking a very expensive cancer drug. He says, we feel there's something very wrong with the way Medicare Part D is written. I'll say. The total cost of his care is wiping him out. He said it could eventually lead him to bankruptcy. He says it's catastrophic. And here's the fun part. We've fixed the bankruptcy code, so even if it does bankrupt him, he can go ahead and lose his home, too, and hit the street! Lord God, do you remember? Do you remember how long? 7, 8 years ago. Do you remember 1999? Do you remember, remember 2000 when George Bush was twiddling, twaddling, and waddling and wandering across the United States? I'm a new kind of conservative. I'm a compassionate conservative. They just didn't tell us that the compassion was for all of his corporate pals. He has great compassion for Merck and GlaxoSmithKline. Lord God, he has compassion for them. But, Mr. Madison, I strongly suggest you, well, you know, the instant gravy's pretty good on Gainsburger. Let's go to the phones. Our friend, our good friend, Luke, joins us from Knoxville. Hey, Luke, welcome to the program. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday to you, Bob.
How are you?
Well, I heard. I told Agnes, I said, well, you're going to have the weekend off. She said, no, you're working tomorrow. But that's okay. It's a good thing to be working where you're going.
Well, I think it'll be fun.
Yeah. Okay. Let's start off with, God, there's so many different directions to go to that. Let's see. How did you enjoy the thing with Tweety Bird now trying to rewrite history?
Oh, you mean...
I was against the war the whole time.
Oh, I thought you were talking about where he was saying, well, it was the Democrats who turned the hoses and the dogs on the black people.
Yeah.
Well, he did that. But rewriting history is something we expect from dear Tweety.
But you know, I mean, here he said, I was against it the whole time. I'm like saying, MSNBC somewhere in a vault, unless they probably already destroyed them. It's like, you know, it'd be real nice right now if they get out some of the Donahue tapes and show them.
Yeah, right before they fired Phil.
I mean, just to remind people what people were saying that were told, you can't say that. And see who those people were doing the talking. But let's see now. What do we have this week?
You remind me of something there, Luke. I'm trying to remember what the phrase was. Phil Donahue is a very difficult public face for NBC to maintain
not,
at
not
this
time. Not
the
public face we want to maintain during a time of war.
Yeah, that's it.
It's like, well, it turns out Phil was right. Everybody else was wrong.
And nobody has to eat crow.
Oh, no. And nobody ever did anything wrong. Are you kidding? You know how that is. I mean, shoot. Oh, Lord, we can't have that happen. But, you know, it's like we're talking about revisionist history. Did you see the one I sent you about Billow's new book?
Oh, yeah. What is that, Culture Warrior?
Yeah, like I said, the problem is they don't tell you it's the Mongol horde of Genghis Khan's the culture he was emulating.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, why don't they just go ahead and put him in the little black dress and call it another book by Ann Coulter?
But you know what I mean? I sat there and I read down through that article, and it's like, you know, this will be a wonderful little trip through fantasy land. You know, this should be a ride at Disney World. Because you read that thing, it's like, you know, wonder what planet this is, because it sure ain't Earth.
Well, the whole thing's like, I remember, were you ever a George Carlin fan, Luke?
Oh, yeah.
There was just one little one-liner he had somewhere along the way when he said, 22 people in Cleveland were trapped today for 12 continuous hours when a man claiming to be the devil hijacked a roller coaster. We're on that roller coaster, Luke.
Yeah, we cannot see the word egress anywhere. It's got to be around here somewhere.
I'd even pay a quarter, just like P.T. Barnum, this way to the egress. Yeah, I got the quarter for that. Now, I want to wake up. It's our national nightmare.
Well, I tell you what. One thing is, like we've said before, the Democrats can't find their hind ends with a map and a compass. I like the one, the thing Tom Hartman had over in Common Dreams. Because, like I say, every time they start talking about this thing, you know, they just made an agreement on. It's like I say, the Democrats every time should be going out to call. Yeah, isn't this the keep George out of jail bill? Isn't that what this is?
No, well, you know, we might do that. But right now, Nancy Pelosi's too busy worrying about Hugo Chavez.
Well, the thing of it is, isn't it amazing how I've been listening to this thing. Oh, we're all talking about Hugo, what an awful person he is. It's like, basically enough, I still have never heard those words coup mentioned. And, you know, why he might
well,
not
the,
like
the other
George
thing that's
w.
not mentioned, you know, while we're having a hissy about Hugo Chavez calling...
George, El Diablo.
El Diablo. Do you think, and I'm not worried so much about the right wing on this. I expect them to behave the way they do. But could we get a message over to Nancy Pelosi's office and remind her that for a year, Flush Flimball, the oxymoron, referred to meek, mild-mannered, simple, Simon Simple, Simon Pure, Tom Daschle as El Diablo and the devil with the blue, and played devil with the blue dress on every time that his name was mentioned? Could we remind Nancy Pelosi about that?
Of course not. That would require anything beyond a 5-minute memory. And that's the problem.
She's got staffers that are, I mean, you know, when you get to be minority leader, you get a dadgum staff, Luke, that are paid six figures.
It's one of those things. It's like say you almost need somebody that's like a football coach to go around every day to every one of their offices and just give them the pep talk. You know what I mean? It's the halftime talk. You know, go in there and tell them we're losing. Get your butts out there, work.
I know.
It's like say when they slap you, slap them back harder. You know, it's like have you seen that new commercial where they're running the? They've got the old clip from the old Terrence Hill movie.
Yeah.
And I see that. Every time I see that, I go, that's what we ought to be doing, slapping them upside of the head every once in a while. You know what I mean? You know, it's like, you know, playing nice is real nice. And fine, go to the playground, have a good time, but not in Congress. We don't need that right now.
Because the threat is Hugo Chavez.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know what the thing about that is, they brought that up tonight. I was listening to one of them they were talking about. It said the thing is that the reason they're demonizing him more than anything else right now is, you know what he's angling for, and I'd forgotten about this till they mentioned it. You know he's angling to get one of those two at large seats on the Security Council.
Yeah, he wants one because we're trying to work the inside skinny and give it to our good friend the dictator of Guatemala.
Mm-hmm.
Because so far, unlike Manuel Noriega, the dictator in Guatemala has been bought and stayed bought.
It's one of those things. It's like you know, like say. If you look at the map now of South America, there ain't too many places where George Bush could go without having to take a contingent of Marines with him.
Well, no, there's not. And, President Da Silva of Brazil delivered an excellent address. He didn't call anybody any names or say that he smelled sulfur or anything. But he delivered an excellent address at the UN. I listened to it. Let's be honest,
if you read Chavez, it's not that bad a speech. You know what I mean?
No,
it's not a bad speech on the whole.
Well, let's consider the fact that everybody laughed at the joke that the devil thing was, and you know, but you know, Republicans have no sense of humor, Luke.
Well, you know, the other thing was, and I heard Randy Rhodes talk about this. She played some clips of it, and you know what? It was right. If you listened, and God, trust me, I had to take all the bicarb I could just to listen to George Bush. But now every time I listen to him, want to give up lunch. But I listened to it. His little speech at the UN. And you know what it reminds, and she mentioned this, and it clicked, and I went, yeah, you know, that is it. This sounds just like that speech that he gave the Iraqi people about 2-3 months before we went into
the state of, exactly. I mentioned that when we were playing it the other night, Luke. It was straight out of the State of the Union address of 2003, January, either late January or early.
Don't destroy the oil wells. I mean... I mean, if you took those two speeches, you could probably sit there and highlight the duplicate lines in them. I mean, it really was. It was just sort of like the exact same speech he gave to the quote unquote Iraqi people. Yeah.
We respect your culture. It's a culture of long standing and has made great cultural contributions to the culture of the world culture.
And then we're going to blow it up later on this week. So everybody go out and enjoy it right now because it ain't going to be there much longer. You know, it's like I said, you know, I told you it's a 50-50 bet. Which one it's going to be, you know, they had that story about them saying that Karl Rove is saying he's got the October surprise.
Mm-hmm.
It's either they're taking Osama out of the fridge or we're going to nuke Iran. I have no doubt, you know, I figure it's about a 50-50 shot.
Well, I think that they get more mileage out of making us wonder, Luke.
That's what I mean. You wonder now if it's just the fact they're throwing it up there, just saying, "Well, we're going to scare it to them, make them sweat." You know what I mean?
And as a consequence of that, I don't know. I'm hoping it motivates our side. I don't know anymore.
But like I say, it's one of those things that. You know, I noticed tonight they were talking, I was watching the Washington Week, you know, so I was listening to them and they were talking, yeah, his numbers have gone up, and I was just, you just want to have somebody sit there and go, of course he has been talking virtually every night, running a speech unopposed. It's like, is he going to do that for the next 7 weeks? I mean, yeah, you're going to get a bump up when you sit there and you talk every night. You know, I mean, virtually he's had a speech every night covered by the network.
But, you know, you said you watched the speech at the UN. Did you catch the thing with Wolf Blitzer?
Oh, God.
You know, crackhead journalist Wolf Blitzer.
You bet, Commander Wolf Blitzer, yes?
Yeah, Mike, God bless him.
It's like he's such an apologist. He's even getting worse than just a pure out of
well,
apology.
No, there was just plain old evil craziness in this thing, and I haven't played it yet, and I don't know. We might have to go into it this evening because that was just the real nuts stuff.
Well, I mean, every time he questioned, you know, right after then he had somebody else on maybe it was on that or maybe it was the next night on the Situation Room, and it's like every time they questioned something, he was like, "Well, can't you accept that maybe that George Bush is doing this for such and such?" And it's like, why are we giving George Bush the benefit of the doubt in this?
Why does he get a pass?
Yeah, right. Like, with 6 years now, have we not figured this out? It's like, again, it's like he's had his free pass. He had his free pass 5 years ago. You know, he wasted that one. And, I mean, it's like every time we turn around, it's like they're just stuck in this mode. Well, we ain't going to say anything bad about it. We aren't going to, you know. It's like, you know, why don't we try it from the other side? Look at it from the other view. Just for a change, Wolf. Come on. You know how it is.
I know. But, you know, I mean, this, if you get a chance, you know, God knows, I hate to help CNN like this, but if you get a chance, watch the discussion with Blitzer because it's, you know, it's one softball after another. There's one exchange in particular.
That's what it was. Oh.
Yeah, one softball goes out there and it's Blitzer saying, well, Mr. President, you've admitted that Saddam Hussein had nothing to do with 9/11. And honest to God, there's a certain amount of respect you have to maintain for anybody who can lie like that right to your face. Yeah, because dear leader sits there and says, yes, but. And the minute I heard that word, but, I was sitting back here, everybody was sound asleep, and I just had my mouth, my hands over my mouth, and, you know, put the pillow over my head. Oh, because, you know, yes, but. You know, yes, he had nothing to do with 9/11, but yes, of course, he ordered 9/11. That was everything. Sure.
It's one of those things. It's like I've got to the point now. When I leave in the morning, I set my VCR. The only thing I set it for on that is I set it for like the last 10 minutes of each hour for that, just so I can watch Cafferty. Other than that, I don't care. I'm to the point. You know, it's like I say, it's getting to the point with them. It's like I'm about to get them like I am on their headline news. Like I said, I've made myself my own pet pledge. I will not watch it as long as they got that neo-Nazi on there. I don't care any of their shows. You know what I mean? It's like,
yeah.
To me, the headline news does not exist. You know what I mean? As long as they've got Beck on there.
Well, they got Glenn Beck. They got Nancy Grace out there convincing people to kill themselves.
The thing is, if you watch, and the other one is.
They got rid of Lynn Russell for this, you know?
No.
Remember Lynn Russell? The hottest, I'm sorry, close your ears, Agnes.
La, 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 la.
The hottest woman on cable news.
Wait, did you see, I sent you that article and I put that link in the comment thing.
Yeah.
That thing for the Jeff Christie thing.
Oh, you can, and people should go listen to that. It's especially edifying if you've ever sat and listened to the oxymoron. You can
over live.
Well, yeah, you can go and listen to the Jeff Christie demo reel. It's on the internet. It's available. It's obvious. You know, there's no mistaking the voice of the oxymoron. And this is about the time that he was getting busted for gay pandering in Pittsburgh, by the way.
And that's what I thought. You did amazing how that
shtick
never pops up.
Yeah, but the shtick never changed.
Oh no,
it's Mr. Snerdly.
I mean, I'll say change a couple names, and it's him. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You ain't gonna listen to it for 15 seconds, and you go, I know who this is.
But just Google Jeff Christie audio, and it'll pop right up.
Do you know where I found that?
Where'd you find it?
BillTush.com.
Is there a BillTush.com?
Yes.
I worship at the altar of Bill Tush. Bill Tush was a hero of mine in my early years because in the early days, right after we got what was then WTCG on the cable. I would sneak into the living room and turn the TV on really, really low to watch Bill Tush.
Oh, we first got cable We used to, I used to get up at 4 in the morning to watch the news of Bill Tush and Rex the Wonder Dog.
Bill Tush and Rex the Wonder Dog. I'll be damned. I'm glad to know that Bill Tush is still out. I mean, are there clips? See, we're going to have to take a break now, Luke, because I got to go look at BillTush.com.
He's got some clips. Now, where this thing was, he's got a thing where he does like sort of like a journal. And I was just backing through it, you know, just to see what all he had on it. And I ran across that in one of his things. It's like, okay. So...
Jeez, that was like a blast from my past. And then, oh, God, the banana splits or something like that would come on after Bill Tush's news.
Oh, God, yes, that is who they'd have on. But you know how it is? It's like some of the stuff he talks about when you go through that, you've got to go through that section. And he talks about some of the people he worked with at CNN.
Jan Hooks.
And who don't work there anymore.
Right.
But he did. He tells us a few. It's not overly explicit, but there's a few things in there you're just kind of going, ooh. Well, I tell you what, I'm going to go because it's almost the bottom of the hour.
Yeah, we are. We're going to take a quick break, and I'm going
to
look at Bill Tush.
I'll listen in on that.
All right. Good deal.
All right. See
later, you. Luke. Bye now. Our good friend Luke from Knoxville. We are going to take a break. You guys know who Bill Tush was? One of the funniest men on television and never, never, ever got nearly the due that he had coming. This is the Head On Radio Network. It's Friday night. Yeah, a few minutes left if you want to get the burr out from under your saddle, the bee out from under your bonnet. 877-443-2366 is the number. Agnes loves this song. I can't even understand the words. But I'm a fogey. And I'm Bob.
The Head On Radio Network is brought to you every night by the Carpenters and Millwrights. The Mid-Atlantic Regional Council of Carpenters is a portion of the United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Joiners of America, or more commonly called the Carpenters Union. The Millwrights are a very specialized craft that perform their work with highly sensitive equipment and perform much of their work on machinery like turbines, laser alignment, and other highly specialized tools. We would like to thank the Carpenters and Millwrights for their support, because freedom of speech is free, and it's brought to you by the Carpenters and Millwrights, working hard every day to provide a brighter future. Thank you from the Head On Radio Network.
Can you imagine a world without children? A world without their smiles or their laughter? A world where children don't play, or sing, or dream, or imagine.
At St. Jude Children's Research Hospital, we can't imagine a world without children. That's why we're working every day to find cures for diseases that strike down children everywhere. Diseases like cancer, pediatric AIDS, and sickle cell. And we won't stop until every child is cured and every disease is defeated. Because we can't imagine a world without children. Can you?
Finding cures, saving children. St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. To learn how you can help, call 1-800-931-0800 or log on to our website, stjude.org.
Wanantaka minka.
Ami no mokurira.
Watashi ni wa okinai wa.
Hadha lan yahduth li.
It won't happen to me.
Did you know there are 1 billion teenagers in the world today? Think about it. That's 1 in 6 people. What if they don't know how to protect themselves against AIDS or unintended pregnancy? What if they do know how, but don't have the means to protect themselves? The decisions young people make today affect all of us. Help ensure that people have access to the information and services they need to build a safe and healthy future. We're Population Action International, working to promote voluntary family planning around the world. Find out how you can help. Visit us at www.populationaction.org. That's populationaction.org.
It happened to me.
Great lyrics in rock and roll history. Now, I work down at the car wash where all it ever does is rain. I'm Bob Kincaid. This is Head On. Now, I want to go. Luke mentioned something. Bill O'Reilly Culture Warrior is out. Do not buy the book. I mean, unless you're out of toilet paper, okay? But he's published his enemies list. And you know what? I am seriously bummed. I am all kinds of bummed out. We're not there yet. We are not there yet. I didn't make Bill O'Reilly's enemies list. Some other people did. You ready for this? American Civil Liberties Union. Air America host Al Franken. How did he miss Malloy? The New York Times, Air America as a whole. Okay, well, Malloy made it that way then. Boston Globe, Washington Post, Baltimore Sun, Atlanta Journal-Constitution, Miami Herald, Johnson City Morning Glory and Battle Cry of Freedom, New Orleans, no, that wasn't there. Miami Herald, New Orleans Times-Picayune, St. Louis Post-Dispatch, Kansas City Star, Minneapolis Star-Tribune, Houston Chronicle, Denver Post, Seattle Post-Intelligencer, The Oregonian, San Francisco Chronicle, Sacramento Bee, Los Angeles Times, St. Petersburg Times, the New York Times columnist Maureen Down, New York Times columnist Paul Krugman, New York Times columnist Bob Herbert, New York Times columnist Frank Rich. MoveOn.org, Senator Edward M. Kennedy, Roger Baldwin, Anthony Romero, University of California Berkeley professor George Lakoff, Atlanta Journal-Constitution columnist Harris Green, Howard Dean, George Soros, who he named public enemy number one, never mind the FBI list, Progressive financier Peter Lewis, Harvard Law School professor Alan Dershowitz, New York Daily News entertainment columnist Jack Matthews, Dallas Morning News columnist Macarena Hernandez, not going to do it, Denver Post columnist Cindy Rodriguez, Dan Rather, Tom Brokaw, Ted Koppel, ABC News producer Rick Kaplan, Walter Cronkite, Bill Moyers, Canadian... How the hell did I not make this list?
He keeps ignoring my emails.
The Canadian Broadcasting Corporation, for God's sakes. The BBC. Newsweek senior editor and columnist Jonathan Alter. New York Times Magazine columnist Randy Cohen, New York Times publisher Arthur Sulzberger III, New York Times executive editor Bill Keller, Sam Donaldson, John Stewart, New York Times columnist Nicholas Kristof, New York Times assistant editor Adam Cohen, Philadelphia Inquirer. Who does he like? Freak! Philadelphia Inquirer entire editorial board, no fruit cup. Associated Press television writer Frazier Moore, Atlanta Journal-Constitution editorial page editor Cynthia Tucker. I'm getting tired. Sold, American. Washington Post columnist Harold Meyerson, CNN, Ted Turner, National Public Radio host Terry Gross, Jane Fonda, Jeremy Glick, author and son of 9/11 victim Barry Glick, anti-war activist Cindy Sheehan, filmmaker Michael Moore, Barbara Streisand, Washington State Supreme Court, The Associated Press, in toto, Ninth Circuit Judge Stephen Reinhart, toto, the majority of the Vermont press, Susan Sarandon, George Clooney, House Democratic leader Nancy Pelosi, Alec Baldwin.
Oh, Alec Baldwin?
Newsday columnist Jimmy Breslin. And finally, David Letterman.
Where's Dorothy?
Who does he like? I mean, okay, So the good guys are George Bush, Donald Rumsfeld, Dick Cheney, Condi Rice, Richard Armitage, Richard Pearl, Paul Wolfowitz, and Tom DeLay. Makes your head hurt. Well, okay, so let's check out Billow, as Keith Olbermann lovingly refers to him. Let's see what Billow had to say about his new tome. Okay, let's do that. Works better with a little button one. There we go.
100,000 people have taken the Culture Warrior test on BillO'Reilly.com. That's amazing. Now, that multiple choice quiz is an introduction to my new book, Culture Warrior, which will be out on Monday. Giant ad in the New York Times. That'll tee those people off over there, won't it? Now, I've told you that we are going to be attacked because of this book, and the dirty tricks have already begun. For example, the committed left-wing magazine Washington Monthly called my publisher and asked for an advanced copy of Culture Warrior.
Yeah, because that's just dirty.
The publisher said, who should we send it to? Washington Monthly gave them a guy who writes for the left-wing smear site Media Matters. Nice try, no book.
No fruit cup. If you want to see it again, and you can, it's over there at MediaMatters.org. And the enemies list is, too. It wasn't that sneaky trying to get an advance copy of it. And it was real sneaky because they got it through a writer from Move On or Media Matters. Jesus, yeah, because nobody knows they're liberal. I get advance copies of books all the time. And the ones I don't like, I just write back to the publicist and say, this thing, nah, it's not for us. You know, they've got a publication budget there. But Billow was afraid to have anybody... Billow. The Billow pad. Billow was afraid to have anybody look at this? In advance? Okay, so they'll go. So Media Matters goes and shills out the $21.95. You know, hell, the damn thing's going to be on sale for $4 at Newsmax any minute now. Really? I mean, that's you do know that that's how this stuff gets to the top of the New York Times bestseller list. You know, with 4 million copies in print, four-time New York Times bestseller author Bill. Blah, 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 blah. Well, and you know, this is a progressive liberal audience, so I'm probably telling you stuff you already know. But just in case, when you look at the New York Times bestseller list, and a book has a little cross out after the title, that means that it has been rocketed onto the list by bulk purchases at discount prices. Yes. That's why there's always a little cross outside of Ann Coulter's books. There's always a little cross outside Michael Savage's books. There's always a little cross outside Bill O'Reilly's books because the right... See, this is what I talk about when we talk about having an infrastructure. They got one. We ain't. Okay? They've got an infrastructure. When Ann Coulter writes some filthy little tome, when Bill O'Reilly puts out some Crayola scrawl screed, when Michael Savage declares that his own mental illness is that of the Democratic Party, Richard Mellon Scaife, the Heritage Foundation, the people who are behind Newsmax and Drudge, the real money, the big, serious, no kidding money, contacts the publisher and says, send us 14 boxcars of it, okay? And then they put it on their little right-wing website. Bargain, short time only, $4 a copy. And the numbers get reported to the New York Times, and they go, oh, Jesus, it's number one on the bestseller list. How do you like that? And they have to put the little cross out there beside of it because it's a fraud. But we can't do that. Oh, that wouldn't be nice. We'd be participating in a fraud. Jesus wouldn't like us. What do you mean you want us to buy a whole bunch of books and just give them away? I mean, that would just be padding the pocket of the author, wouldn't it? We don't want to do that. Well, you know what? A lot of this started with the oxymoron. Wrote a book, see, I told you I was on drugs or something like that. And you know, then this whole process was set in motion. But our side, nah, we can't figure that out. Now, wait a minute. We'll be happy to buy two copies if you'll pay for the postage. But, you know, make sure that it's an animal-friendly package, okay? And make it 100% recycled content now. And that's what's frustrating. That's what's incredibly frustrating out of all this because, you know, it's about the message. They have a message of hate and intolerance and misery and death. And they get it into millions and millions of American homes because they're willing to eat the cost to spread the message. Okay, everybody. Kumbaya, my Lord. Kumbaya. Agnes looks at dude.
That ain't good.
It's not good. The whole situation's not good. The caffeine was not good. I know, you're sorry. But this is, you know, this is where we are. And so, you know, for the next 6 months to 1 year, you're going to, if you bother, God knows why you would, if you bother, you're going to hear, O falafel, you're going to hear him talking about my runaway bestseller. And it's a run, okay, yeah, but the runaway is the runaway from the truth. But it's going to be a runaway bestseller. And, you know, millions of Americans have read this because they agree with Bill O'Reilly. And we're just sitting there doing what? Now that this book is coming out fresh into the hands of people right before the November elections, and we're doing which? Well, you know, Bob, we've got a load of 14 gross of sunflower seeds with printed candidate names on it. And Emery Board, we've got Emery Board, we got matches! It hurts. Honest to God, it just hurts sometimes. We have ideas, we have a vision for the future. We have dedicated people who are willing to work to the very last iota of their being. Unfortunately, we have, in some instances, we have people running the show who are saying, you know, who want to buy Emery boards. No. And that doesn't, you know, it's not the way you work in the 21st century. I am so proud that we're going to be in Charleston at the Civic Center tomorrow because we are going to do something that is going to be earth-shattering in many ways. Because we are going to be helping the West Virginia Democratic Party engage in real, live, honest-to-God new media. And I will tell anyone there who asks me that this is the way to go because you're not going to get favorable coverage from the TV stations. You're not going to get favorable coverage. Look at the two of the main AM radio talk stations in Charleston, West Virginia are owned by right-wing freak groups, one of whom is running for Senate against Robert Byrd. I mean, this is the guy who shows up in a full-page ad in the newspaper wearing a pinstripe suit carrying an elephant rifle talking about shooting Byrd. Crazy! But we are going to empower the West Virginia Democratic Party with new media. I hope you'll be there. I hope you'll run the numbers way up so that we can show people who matter, how important it is to not to ask somebody else for their media help, but damn it, to start being the media. Right? Okay. Let's go to the phones. Our good friend Wayne joins us. Hey, Wayne, welcome to the program.
Hey, how you doing, Bob?
I'm doing okay. You all right?
I'm doing real good. Listen, I got a, you know, talking about being the own media and that, I got a Hollywood thing. I nominate Richard Armitage. Is that how you say his name?
Yeah, Armitage.
To play the Penguin in the next Batman movie. Yeah, I mean, don't look at the dude, man. He looks like that. He looks like DeVito did that.
Yeah, he does. And, you know, that slowly but surely, we're working through an entire Batman cast. After all, Laura Bush looks like the Joker.
There you go. See? I mean, you know, I think we could build on this. But Anybody that that thinks Armitage didn't say that to Mashar.
Yes, he did. I mean, it's,
are you sure he did?
That's the right language.
Know, to be perfectly honest with you, I don't know that I have a problem with that. I mean, you know, as far as Bin Laden goes, I mean, look at the deal they just cut with him.
No, well,
and we're letting them do that.
Yeah, you mean the surrender?
Yeah.
Jesus.
Bin Laden can live wherever he wants. We won't bother him.
We'll get him in a house in the suburbs right next to AQ Khan because we let him get away too.
Right, you know. I mean, for well, that's what it looks like anyway. I mean, he may be living in Crawford for all the hell we know. But
playing snooker in the basement.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, we all know they have a history with those people and stuff. But I'm really, I just heard you talking about tomorrow night, and I, you know, I'm really looking forward to that. Well, tomorrow day during the evening. And,
well, I'm going to be shameless about this, Wayne, assuming that everything goes well, and it will, because we've got a talented broadcast professional behind the board back here at the studio. We've got three talented broadcast professionals behind the mics there in Charleston. And we got a lot of interesting people to potentially talk to, listen to. Once this has gone well, I hope that I can, working with the West Virginia Democratic Party, we can bang on our own drums and toot our own trumpets to the National Democratic Organization and show them what it means to stop enabling traditional media and be the media yourself.
That's exactly right. That is exactly right. And that's what we have to do. That's the only place we're going to get our fair chance. So,
yeah,
I'm looking forward to it. I talked to Dr. Bill. He's all set. And, you know, hopefully our good brother will be okay.
Yeah, well, he's supposed. I told him I would if I saw him in this chat room this evening that I would get in touch with him and raise unholy hell. He's supposed to be asleep.
Well,
that's what I'm told.
That's what you have to do to get better when you get them things.
Right.
Just rest. So, anyway, pal, I just wanted to you know, say hello and put in my nomination for the next Penguin. I felt that. I mean, look at that dude.
Oh, I know.
Take a look at him, bro.
Well, and he does evil stuff like the Penguin does. You know, he threatens to bomb third world countries into the Stone Age where they already are in large part. And
yeah, right.
And well, wait, see what the caffeine?
Plame.
Yeah, Valerie Plame.
Yeah, he did.
He did that too.
Yes, he did. And well, you know, these are evil people we're talking about. You know,
yes,
like
they
I've
are.
Said many times before. We have to be prepared for all their stuff because they're frightened, and they should be.
And they're mean.
They're real mean. Now. They're real mean. So, anyway, pal, I'm going to let you go.
All right. Take it easy, Wayne.
I'll see you tomorrow.
All right. Later.
Bye.
Bye now. Oh, yeah, the weirdness just goes on and on. Yeah, Senator Makaka Allen, Felix Makaka. Felix Makaka is all up in a snit. Now, bear in mind, this is the guy who got really mad when it was discovered and announced that this Klansman, really, he's a Klansman. Anybody that keeps a noose and a Confederate flag hanging in his office, he's got the uniform. And he's really bent out of shape because he's in real trouble with the Clavern now that he's been found to be part Jewish. But what's he upset about? This man who held an ethnic political rally? Yeah, come on down to my ethnic rally! He did. Honest to God, he did a couple of weeks ago, George Allen. Now, he's mad at James Webb because James Webb, what did he do? James Webb has a political ad running that shows President Reagan speaking well of him. And of Reagan speaking well of him at the Naval Academy when he was Secretary of the Navy, saying, well, James Webb is a fine American. And the Republicans and George Allen are all upset about that because nobody can say good things about Democrats if they're Ronald Reagan, even Dade. But this is my favorite line out of the story. The fact is, Webb's campaign managers described President Reagan as a pompous, arrogant fool and said that the Reagan administration was a sellout and a sham. Well, duh. In a letter to potential supporters, wait for it, because we all love the language, because we're smart liberal progressives here. We love the language. In a letter to potential supporters, Allen's campaign refers to Webb's, quote, fake posthumous endorsement. Wait for it. Just wait for it. Fake posthumous endorsement. Okay, so a plane crashes on the Canadian-American border. Where do you bury the survivors? A legal question. Can a man marry his widow's sister? Next up, fake posthumous endorsement. You know, I get a real posthumous endorsement. I'm calling like the X-Files people because that means somebody's up out of the dirt and, you know, right? Agnes? Am I?
You're there.
Fake, but no, it's a real posthumous endorsement. Woo! Vote for James Webb! Never give me caffeine before a program again, Agnes.
No, they did have some votes like that at one time, and when people turn up to be 180 years old, it's a problem.
Well, we vote the dead in Logan County, and Cook County, Illinois, too, for that matter. Or so we used to. But honestly, no, they're upset about a fake posthumous ad. And. Headline, NBC Max backs off Madonna crucifix scene. American Family Association Chairman Donald E. Waldman says NBC will not air the scene showing Madonna being crucified in the upcoming November. I thought that's what they wanted to happen to her. NBC does not want to fight with AFA and the Christian community, said Waldman. NBC may wiggle and wobble, but in the final analysis, they will not show that scene. We expect a public announcement from NBC canceling the scene within 2 weeks. Meanwhile, if you just tell the lie about the entire run-up to 9/11 and who made it happen and your ABC, that's okay with the American families. Lying's okay. Tacky crucified blondes, not okay. Are we square? Let's go to the phones. Richard joins us. Hey, Richard, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob. I just wanted to follow up on a few things from Wednesday when I called in.
Okay, we got a few minutes.
Okay. When I said I had steam coming out of my ears about my managed care health plan meeting, what I meant was that the issues were so complicated that the steam was coming out of my ears.
Oh, I thought something really rotten had happened.
No. It's just that to cover the whole population as much as possible, there's so many criteria that have to be met.
Well, Richard, do you deal with the within the purview of what you do, do y'all have to deal with the Plan D donut hole?
We're going to do our own Plan D.
Because I learned about this not too long back, and it's very upsetting.
Yeah, it's horrible, but at least we're going to do our own. You know.
Yeah.
We're just, you know. We're not doing it yet. It's gonna go online at the beginning of next year. So I don't know what the pieces are going to be. We may have our own little extra coverage to fill that hole.
I hope it's awful.
Yeah, you know.
what a ripoff! You have to continue to pay, but you don't get anything for what you're paying for.
I know. And what can I say? We used to have a pharmaceutical industry guy who came to our meeting. And he just sat there and took notes. I forget what company he was from.
Merck, GlaxoSmithKline.
I don't remember. He hasn't been around for a while.
Big Pharma. Yeah.
Yeah, Big Pharma. Anyway, let me go on to something else.
Sure, go ahead.
I just wanted to say what I like about what you're doing, what's so special, is the democratic aspect of it. You know, that's so much different than regular radio.
Yeah, you mean little d democratic.
Yeah, little d democratic, which reminds me of the kind of music I really like. Classical music, in particular, Baroque music, has no stars. Everybody's pretty much equal.
Yeah, well, it's about the music.
That's right. But, I mean, the music is written in such a way that nobody is the star soloist. So I like, you know, Bach and Telemann. It's a lot of fun.
Oh, yes.
And so it's,
well, is Vivaldi considered Baroque?
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah,
the lute stuff, just, yeah.
Oh, he's did a lot of stuff. Yeah, Corelli and, you know, Taco Bell for that matter.
He was a bit of a one-hit wonder.
No, he wasn't really. It's just a one-hit. It's all you hear of him. You know, they just play
from light bulb commercials to weddings. It's one.
Yeah, they just play the same thing over and over again. But he was quite well rounded. It's just that I haven't heard that much from him either. What I've heard of what? But anyway, now finally, I want to talk about you.
Oh, okay.
Okay, because I want you to be, you're a real jewel, Bob, and I want you to be around for a long time. So let me tell you how I gave up smoking.
Please do.
And who knows, maybe this will be helpful. I was going to, I was trying to stop smoking, and I went to Nicotine Anonymous meetings.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so before the meeting, I would, you know, I'd have myself a nice big cigarette.
Right.
Go into the meeting, and
hot
everybody stank of tobacco.
Sure.
And as soon as it was over, I'd go back in my car and light up a cigarette. So this didn't kind of work. So here's what I worked out, and it did work. But you have to take off at least a day from your job.
Okay.
And the deal is like this. You go to sleep. In effect, you go to sleep for 3 days. And what I did was I went to sleep for 3 days. I didn't smoke. You see, without the nicotine boost, it's rather easy to sleep.
Okay.
You know, so, and all you do is you sleep, you get up, you go to the bathroom, you go back to bed, you go and you eat, you go back to bed, you know, in other words, what you're doing is you're sleeping through the worst of the withdrawal.
Yes. That makes extremely good sense. I mean, that's basically what would happen if you checked yourself into a program for it, isn't it?
I don't know.
I mean, they'd probably sub in a little bit of group, you know, where you'd talk about your addiction. But, you know, for as poisonous as it is, Richard, people don't take nicotine addiction nearly as seriously as they should.
Oh, it's hard. Because and you know, you get the automatic habits, the hand movements, and you know.
Yeah, it's my hand prop.
Yeah, and I know doing broadcasting, there's a lot on your mind all at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
You're talking, you're watching the clock, you know, you got the technical stuff going on, and there's a tension to it.
Yes.
I think. You know, and so that's one of the reasons I said it's important to not be working.
Well, I think, you know, maybe I'll set a Monday. And
get the boys to take over one or two days.
Yeah.
And you just sleep. You know, I don't know if it's going to work, but I did it twice. The first time I did it, I went back to smoking because I had a lot of tension in my life. The second time, I was really able to do it, and I haven't smoked for over 10 years.
That's amazing. Congratulations. Yeah. Well, Richard, I'm gonna give it a try. Unfortunately, we got to roll.
Okay.
Have a wonderful weekend.
You too.
And to all the listeners. Thank you. And if you get a chance, check us out tomorrow evening.
What's tomorrow evening?
Well, we're going to go ahead and broadcast from the West Virginia Jefferson Jackson Day dinner, and we'll broadcast the entire proceedings and see how that all works.
Okay. Is it on the site?
Yeah, and it'll start, let's see, you're on the West Coast, so it'll start at 1 p.m.
Cool. Okay,
right.
Thanks a lot.
Take care, Richard.
Okay, bye.
Bye now. All right, then, that's it. The show tonight, of course, was produced by my lovely, talented, darling wife, Agnes, announced by a guy who is sitting in the room right now, Brian Reznor. Say hey, B.
Hey, hey.
See? That's a real radio announce voice. John Fox is the chief engineer of the Head On Radio Network in Sydney, Australia. Ben Birch at WhiteRoseSociety.org maintains the streams and the archives of all the programs on the Horn. Shelby LaPrey at RadioPower.org is our streaming partner and our simulcaster at RadioPower.org. We appreciate everything she does. Let's see. Peter Godbold of Godbold Computer Services in Tallahassee, Florida is our IT professional, and what a professional he is. Gene in Oregon is our news editor on the headonradionetwork.com news blog. The moderators are the best in the business in the chat room. We thank you. And everything happens on the Horn because more than 3,000, several thousand members of the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights get up every day and they go out and they build the American dream. And by supporting this network, they're helping to save the American dream. and always, 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 RMR, it's all good.
Welcome to the Head On Radio Network, featuring the best of Mike Malloy. Welcome to the Head On Radio Network, featuring the best of Mike Malloy.
True Seekers, Malloy here on Resistance Radio. Thank you very much for joining us. I have to tell you, we are experiencing some really bad thunderstorms and hail and all sorts of high winds and nasty stuff here in the metro Atlanta area. So if you hear a crackle and a pop and we're gone, our engineering cohorts in Detroit will immediately put on a rebroadcast, probably of last night's program. Just wanted to let you know. All right? Program today produced, or tonight produced by Catherine Bay. Robin Bittman announces for us, as always. The phone number here is 800-825-5937, 800-TALK-YES. Or you can email Mike D. Malloy at earthlink.net.